Tonight, Paige Weiser returns to Pretty Late to talk about nostalgia TV. Then we check in with Chicago Tribune cartoonist Scott Stantis. And finally, we will learn a lot more about Sex Ed, the movie. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
I got all excited there. I thought we were going to learn more about Sex Ed, but we're going to learn more about Sex Ed, the movie. You are listening pretty late, so the fact that we will talk about Sex Ed hopefully is okay with you after midnight. And it's getting late. It's pretty late. It's a little damp outside, but it looks like the salt is starting to take effect on Michigan Avenue there, Jill. Kennedy was a mess.
Thank God. Did you get my text? Personal information. I texted you and said it's pretty bad out there. Make sure...
Plenty of time.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a secret?
You can.
My phone, my actual phone, has been dead for 4 days. I should probably find out how to get those texts.
Oh, okay.
But thank you.
Yeah.
I feel special now, and I feel bad that that went out into the ether, and I could not benefit from your information.
Oh, but no. I mean, it's just, I just figured you would know, obviously, but
no.
I just wanted to give you a heads up.
No, Craig has been, for the last 3 nights, we've had scheduled times to be here. You know, I think it was like 9 o'clock last night. I was supposed to be here at, I think, 9:30, and I have been late most of the time tonight. I was just a couple minutes late, and he's been, I feel bad because he's always been here on time, and I never, not once this week have I left myself enough time for travel on the Kennedy, and tonight was dicey. Outbound looked much worse by the junction. It was terrible.
Outbound, yeah, you know, it's just, how would you compare it to the other night?
Well, inbound was easier for me. I mean,
okay.
It was steady. It seemed like people were like, okay, this is happening. We're gonna trudge along. It seemed like a different density of snow as well.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think that they'd also had enough time to be clearing the Kennedy since it started earlier today, whereas the other night it had just started dumping on the Kennedy about that time, and the trucks weren't out yet.
That was...
Ugh.
Yeah.
That was brutal.
There seemed to be a certain denseness with some of the drivers as well.
Yeah. They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Density meet density.
Right.
Yes.
I actually got here, and I had planned to run stairs with Craig, and time got away from us. Would that be the best way to describe it?
It was such a shame.
Yeah,
I was so sad.
We didn't. Well, you didn't go do stairs, but I'm
okay. Yeah, you did 10.
I did 10. I did. There were. How much time did we have? Before?
You had 6 minutes before the start of the show, and you decided to run.
Excuse me.
10 flights of stairs.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the 6 minutes that we had, I think I did it in a couple minutes.
Yeah, because you have to get to the stairwell.
I had to get. Oh, so I learned something. Now I'm learning. I'm learning the
What'd you learn?
Letters of the stairwell.
Okay, cool.
Not the letters. I'm A B
A B C D. Oh God, I feel like I'm with DJ.
Speaking of which, I digress for a moment. I was watching Agent Carter, the pilot episode.
I missed that.
Oh, then when you watch it, there's a great line that she has where this guy, it's the 1940s, right after World War II.
Sure.
And she's kind of Agent Carter, who later becomes obviously a primary character in The Shield. They treat her like a secretary, even though she's this very well-trained agent. This guy gives her a folder and says, "You're better at this than I am." And she goes, "At what? The alphabet? Would you like some help? I can give you a letter. I can give you a word for A."
Wow.
It was fantastic.
So you like the show then, too?
Oh, I only watched the first 10 minutes because I had to get here.
You're doing
I'm
a lot of
10.
Right.
Yeah, I've got segments of my life compartmentalized. So stairwell F, so that you know, only has 8 floors to it. I had wanted to do 10, so I had to go run down 2 floors and then run back up 2.
I'm really interested in stairwell. I think it's E.
Mm-hmm.
It's all green. So we got to try. We got to check out that one.
Okay,
it seems like it's all green and at least goes up 7 floors.
Okay, and D definitely doesn't get locked in D a lot. Most of those floors. I'll show you the picture of the
balcony.
That's
the one where you're pretty much outside the whole time, right?
A little bit.
Sort of running on the outside fire escape.
And that was that other one where it was cold. There are floors, Jill, where the
terrifying
the stairwells are open to the street. Like there's like grated windows.
Ooh, that's creepy.
Yes, it's very creepy. Some beautiful shots of the night skyline that I have from those floors. And then I think I'm going to drop my phone out here, aren't I?
Right, and you're never getting it back.
Yeah, because you have to in order to get a good shot, you have to put your camera on the outside of the grate.
You do that whenever you go anywhere.
Yeah.
Whenever you are a tourist somewhere, you do that, don't you? You lean as far in as you can.
Yes.
Yeah.
I told you I almost dropped my mom in the Grand Canyon. Didn't I tell you this story?
Yes, you told me that story, and I love that sentence.
You
definitely did.
I was trying to get a better shot
right. Of
one of the greatest, you know, moments and scenery that you're ever going to have in front of you.
You got to prepare.
I don't know how much closer that you can get than being in the Grand Canyon, but right. Apparently I needed to lean forward a little
if
more.
If you go anywhere with Patty, you just got to prepare. She might push you into something.
I haven't pushed you yet. That's why I let you go first.
So I don't.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
So yes, I ran 10 floors. I'm a little bit out of breath. It's burning. It's burning me. Yeah.
Where is the burn?
It's right there in the throat area.
Okay.
Yes. Is that bad?
So none of the legs. You're doing fine on the legs.
Oh, my legs are okay. Yeah. I mean, they burned on the stairs. Are your legs? Are you?
I still get tired.
They're like rubber, like jelly.
Yeah.
It's like, are they moving?
Right. They turn into like, you know, spaghetti.
Yeah.
I have more problems with the breathing. You hear me on the stairwell. No matter how much we've done, I'm still like... yeah.
So your breathing is actually not genuine for how tired the rest of your body is. You're just having a breathing thing, but the rest of you is doing great.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm sorry.
That's interesting. Because my breathing is very genuine. That's me being very out of breath for the rest of my body.
But I've been doing this for a month, though.
I know.
But for some reason, my breathing is not.
And you refused to skip today entirely.
I did. Well, now what did I ask you before the show or tell you we should do...
After the show, you said we could run all the stairs at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Jill, all the stairs. We'd run all the stairs in the Tribune Tower.
52. We do 52. You owe me 52 floors.
2 o'clock-ish.
Yes. Yeah. And I will have done an extra 10. I'll have done 62.
Do you know how insane that sounds if someone just opens a stairwell and sees us at 2:30 in the morning?
You look like you robbed a bank where you're running
what
from.
What are we doing at that time of night?
But when does everybody else work out? They work out after they go to work most of the time. Some people get up at 6 a.m.
Yeah. And when all the gyms are closed, run in the stairwell.
Exactly.
When no one else is awake.
I don't think I'm that crazy. 312-981-7200. Don't you think, because Craig and I are getting off work at 2 a.m., we can run stairs at 2:15. We wrap up our work. We got a text last night on Facebook and say they were commending us because clearly we were doing a postmortem on the show. They saw us in the studio still working during Nick's show.
I'll say this. If we get 10 text messages or 10 just contacts of
or
any
calls,
kind,
right?
And 6 people say yes.
If more
people say yes than say no, I'll do it.
Okay, so 312-981-7200. Do you think Craig and I should run stairs at 2:15 after work? Just like a lot of people do. They get off work.
I think you should.
I think that's a contact. Inside the building. Contacts from inside the building do not count. 312-981-7200. Please call or text and tell Craig that, go ahead, do your stairs. What else are you going to do? It'll make you tired. You'll fall right asleep when you go home. Right? You're still awake when we're done. I'll even give you a beer during the show, and then you can run it off the... No? Does that help?
I'm like the show's pet. I'll give you a beer, and then you run later.
I don't want you to feel like my pet. Right. You can. I'm not making you do stairs.
I just am never wearing a leash. Just never try to bring a leash anywhere near this.
I don't want you to feel like my pet. Don't feel like my pet.
No, stop texting people. These are all yes. Everyone's texting yes.
312-981-7200. When else are we going to get it done? We said 3 days a week.
2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, listeners. Just think about that.
Yes.
2 o'clock, 2:30.
You're just getting off work.
The 224. These people need to stop. Where are the no's?
312-981-7200. I feel like this is a very strange telethon. 312-981-7200. Get us across the line to have Craig run stairs with me at 2:15 to 2:30 in the morning. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You got this, Craig. You got this. By the way, once again, if I keep saying that, does it make it more or less annoying?
No, I like the people who are dancing outside because we were dancing
in the
studio.
That's right. Yeah, kisses to you, too. Oh, they're kissing and tongue. Okay, cool.
No, it doesn't make it any more true when you say that.
I know. But
would you like some results?
I would like some results to our poll. We want to know if Craig should indeed run stairs. We are training for the American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb coming up on March 8th. You can join our team, which is After Party at Club 720, which is your name. For our team.
Yep, I named the team.
And it's a great name.
Thank you.
And you and I have been training. Last week we did it once. This week we've done it once.
Right.
And I told you we were going to do it 3 times a week. We ran out of time today before the show. I suggest and implore you mm-hmm. to run with me after the show. I did 10 floors.
Right. And after the show would be about 2:15.
Yeah, around there. And so you have asked listeners.
I asked our listeners to go ahead and decide for us mm-hmm. if we would run, which is what you wanted, like you said, or not run, which is what I was hoping.
You said a minimum of 6 people?
I was hoping that some of our listeners were compassionate people. Just a couple of them somewhere out there were a little bit compassionate.
How'd that turn out for you?
Not well.
Okay.
We've got tons of text messages on this. People are just saying, yes, hell yes, do it. You totally should run the stairs. Do the damn stairs already.
Wow.
Just do it all night long. From Jessica in Lakeview.
That's the next bump, please.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Is that Lionel Richie all night long?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if this person meant to make a political joke. He said GOP for it, but I think he just meant go for it.
Yeah, but you can gop for
right.
it. Maybe
and then that's I could gop. There's Run, Craig, Run.
Run.
So I'm Forrest Gump now.
Yes.
And there's just so many more. Apparently,
and they're also calling us.
Yes, they are.
Implore you to do the same. Hey, David, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
I want to preface it with I think that anyone runs stairs is kind of crazy.
Oh, okay.
It is normal, you know, for most people to go after work, and those are your hours. I used to get off at 3 a.m. and run anywhere between 9 and 15 miles.
See,
all seasons of the year.
Now, so David, you just said that people who run stairs are crazy. I would contend that people that run 9 to 15 miles are crazy. So you and I flip sides of a coin.
You know, when you work the hours that we do, you have to. It's peace of mind. It's your release there.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Couldn't get it done before work. Get it done after work.
Yeah, you have to do it before. Yeah, if you can't do it before work, you have to do it afterwards.
Now, David, it sounds like you're in pretty good shape. Are you still running?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So would you like to join our Fight for Air Climb coming up on March 8th?
I've never done stairs. I'm more of a marathon runner. I like to do the flat level, running upstairs. Man, I don't know how people do it.
You know what? My husband has a theory about why I like it so much, because I have big, and this is whatever, but I have big quads. I've always been more of a sprinter that I can't do long distances. It turns out, I think, and I believe he's right, I'm built for stairs. Does that make sense to you?
I know people who say that they're built for stairs. So, yes, it makes absolute sense. I'm more of a flat ground runner.
Yeah,
Preferably downhill.
No uphill running for David. All right. Well, if you change your mind, you can go to the American Lung Association webpage and join our team. And thank you so much for encouraging Craig to stay healthy at 2:30 in the morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see what Kevin has to say. Kevin, what do you think? Should Kevin run the stairs? I mean, Craig, should Craig run the stairs at 2:30 in the morning?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If it's after work, why not?
Yeah.
Way, you know, better. That way there's not a lot of people around. Nobody to bother you, get in your way and anything.
Okay, so, Kevin, do you work in a building by any chance? Is there a building you work in?
No, I work outside.
Okay, do you work in a tent? What are you asking him?
No, so picture you work in a building, and you came into work at, I don't know, like 3:30 or something, and there's just people running in the stairwell. We seem crazy. We look crazy.
But he's saying, but no one's going to see us to think we're crazy.
There's security guards that were making fun of us the other day.
And they're the same people that would see us running at 9 p.m.
We just seem like crazy people running at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning in the work stairwell, which apparently we're going to do now. We're going to be insane people.
Kevin, yes, right? He should do the stairs.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Who's going to see him besides one security guard? Maybe ask them to join you or something, you know?
What a great idea. No, you know what we did? We came down and we said the stairwell F is clear.
Yeah, we did the rounds for them.
Yes.
So that was nice.
They didn't ask us to. Thank you, Kevin.
Hey, sure. We'll see you.
Talk to you later.
We also have a text from the 847. You should definitely do the stairs and then go ahead and hug Nick D afterward.
There you go. He would love that.
Yeah, he'll be on the air.
You're
he
both
needs
huggers.
A sweaty hug.
I see you as both huggers.
No,
yes.
I'm not a hugger.
I know, so I'm saying. I don't know that I've ever hugged Nick either.
No, I don't think he does that.
No.
Any
other Rob?
Oh, tons of texts.
Rob, don't you think you should be doing the stairs after the show? I think that's not a bad idea. Jill, right? What else we have?
If you want to, who cares if it's in the middle of the night? It is when you get off your shift.
Yeah,
I used to go to Jewel at midnight.
Come on, man.
When I got off my shift,
I was using the late night as an excuse, Jill. I don't really want to, but now I have to. Now I
no,
put it out there.
I don't.
No, I said if you want to.
Exactly. Right. If you want to.
No, I'll do it. I said I'd do it, and the listeners made me do it.
I think you should.
They made
it's a great
you.
Way to unwind.
How? Why don't you stay, Rob? Stay till 2.
No, yes. I've got 4 kids.
We get somebody. We should. That's what we should do. Is
I
find,
need to have kids.
We need to find a listener that runs stairs.
Well,
with
you
us
might.
At 2:30.
You might want to think real hard before you make that statement again, my friend.
I would be immediately out of this situation though if I had kids at home.
I have kids at home.
Patty, yeah. Jill, please tell young
them.
Craig down there what kids do to your life.
Well, all I want to do right now,
as much as we love them,
is go to bed.
Yeah, I want to go to bed. I want to go to bed too, but I'm going to do stairs.
Yeah, look at you, above and beyond, Patty Vasquez.
Whatever. It's no, I actually enjoy stairs and I appreciate your companionship in the stairwells, Craig. More after the 720 WGN. Before we go to the newsroom, we have one more caller that would like to chime in about yay or nay on Craig joining me for a quick training session, the fight for air climb for the American Lung Association after the show. It would be about 2:15, 2:30 in the morning. George, what do you think?
I worked for a college athletic facility for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And after we would close and everybody would go home, our overnight police department or custodians and those who really wanted to get that extra workout, they'd come in, they'd work out throughout the middle of the night.
There you go.
But I don't see nothing wrong with you guys getting off of work, because your 2 a.m. is like our 5 o'clock.
This is what I'm saying to you. This is, and here's the thing. What I think what Craig is worried about. So it's one, just the initial idea of doing this tonight at 2:15 is a little daunting. But he also knows that this will now set a precedent for other shows. This means for the next 2 months, at any point where we don't have enough time before the show, we will now be doing stairs after the show. Yeah.
And what's wrong with getting that? Actually, what you should be doing is security guards are saying they're laughing at you all. Y'all ought to make them say, hey, come on and do a couple of flights. It won't hurt you.
There you go. That's right. We'll be like the Pied Piper of the stair climbing team.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, we are getting text messages asking for Rob Martyr to participate.
Look at that. We're collecting our numbers. Yes, Rob?
Yeah, I've got 4 kids. I got to get home.
He's got to get home. George, thank you so much. And that makes complete sense to me. We appreciate that.
All righty. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Craig's going to need that.
Sunday, Monday, happy days.
I think this music really does make you happy. Look, you're all, even though you have to run the stairs at 2:30 in the morning, you're dancing to Happy Days. And Paige Weiser joins us to talk about nostalgia TV. But I don't know if you were listening before this, Paige. Craig and I are training for the American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb. And since we didn't get our workout before the show, we're doing it at 2:30 in the morning per the listener's request.
Or couldn't you do it now while we're talking?
Good idea. Let's do that.
Ooh, I think we should do our show from the stairwell.
I'll give you a wireless mic.
Oh, you're sending me out to do it, is what you're saying.
Or a stepladder or anything.
I just work out while we're talking to Paige.
We should just order an elliptical.
We'll do squats.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Like that. Do you work out when you watch TV, Paige? Because some people are really good about that.
No, today I was, I kept tweeting. I couldn't, and so I had to, like, turn down the speed every time I had to type. I'm a very bad typer. I don't do the thumb thing on your phone, you know?
Right.
I use my index finger, so it was a horrible workout, but I got a lot tweeted.
I do tweet a little bit when I'm in the stairwell. We've been taking selfie videos, but what I should do is, because I can watch TV on my phone, I could watch TV and tweet while I'm doing stairs. Craig, look at this. We can multitask.
No, all three?
I don't know. Well, he could carry the television and just play it really loudly while I tweet behind you.
I went from pizza to a television? It was a bad trade.
Yes, Paige, he was eating pizza on our first training session in the stairwell.
I took a couple slices with me.
Carbs are good, I think, for that.
Right. That's what I said.
That's what he said.
The cheese didn't really make it great, though.
A little heavy?
Yeah, a little heavy.
A
little bit.
I some of these shows, the I Love This or That shows on VH1, crack me up. One, I love it because they use a lot of comedians, so that's good for my industry. But what do they have now? There's another production they have that's similar?
So VH1 is branching out a little bit, and now they've got a TV show that I really like because, of course, it's kind of a chick show, but it's called Hindsight. It premiered last night, and it's about a woman in present day. She's about to have her second marriage. And she's thinking about her first marriage back in the 90s. So she magically, via elevator, travels back in time and may right some wrongs and stuff. But the best part, you know, is that it's 1995, I checked the notes. And it says they're playing Ace of Base, and she's talking with her old friend, and they're like, and she tells her, you know, from the future, Patrick Dempsey becomes really hot, and her friend is like, no way.
Yeah.
It's great 90s nostalgia. There's Susan Powter, there's Spin Doctors,
wow.
And And it's a good show also. But I really, really, really love the references. And I have forgotten much of the 90s. So I think it's going to be a nice refresher course for me.
Do you like the way they're doing it better than... I saw your Facebook post today and people were commenting on things like the Goldbergs. Do you like it better that they're kind of, you know, telling you we're traveling back in time and enjoying all of those cultural references rather than having a show set in the 1980s?
Okay, the Goldbergs is awesome because it's copying the Wonder Years. They've got Patton Oswalt is narrating it like they did on Wonder Years.
Right.
And it stars... Do you know Wendy McClendon Covey?
I know the name. Oh, yes, I do. I know who she is. Yes.
No, I was hoping you guys were friends.
Oh no, I don't know her. I know Jeff. I know Jeff Garland better than I know. I don't know Wendy at all, but I know Jeff.
Oh, I adore her. She's from Reno 911. She's mm-hmm. Fridays, and she's the mom. And they say they don't care about what year it is. It's just generally the 80s, and they throw the anachronisms all over the place. You know, something's from 87, something's from 81, they don't care.
Right, accuracy is not in their realm.
Which is nice, you know, might be limited. They just had an entire New Kids on the Block episode, which really hit home for me. I was wondering also, I mean, do you think I like this show so much? Because, I mean, to me, there will never be a decade as embarrassing as the 80s. I mean, was that just me in my awkward phase, or am I right?
No, I think that we can't lay claim to the 70s. A lot of people from the 70s seem to be, it was sort of that crossover, you know, the kind of the hippies from the 60s and, you know, getting to that fried hair deal that we did in the 80s. I think the 70s seemed kind of embarrassing. But yeah, I mean, because I did have a perm and big bangs in the 80s, I could probably say that was a little embarrassing. Acid wash jeans.
I don't think that hair is going to come back. I don't.
No. No, you're right. Hair from the 70s does, though. That, like, long, like, you know, really straight hair has come back.
Totally back. It's, like, number one. And the fashion from the 80s, they're showing prairie skirts. Did you do prairie skirts?
Yeah. I was a big fan of Little House on the Prairie. How could I not do prairie skirts with, like, a ruffle and a ruffle collar? Are you kidding me? Of course.
Well, and there was this whole conflict between the Valley Girls and, are you going to be a prep? Are you going to do splash dance? No, I'm punk. It was a lot for a young woman to handle.
There was. Let me think. I did, because we made fun of the Valley. Like, it's totally tubular. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, you can tell I went Valley, but
like, gag me with a spoon, all that. Yeah, Craig, this is not stuff that's familiar to you at all.
I know gag me with a spoon. I was alive in the 90s.
I know, but still, I don't know.
But then I would go buy the handbooks. I'd buy the preppy handbook. I'd buy the Valley Girl handbook so I could study, you know.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you seem to always do research. She does research on everything.
Yeah. Even then, you were... So we're talking like flipped up collar, right? Pastels.
Oh, and you've got a layer like three polos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was that the 90s?
That was the 80s still, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I layered polos. That's something I've done.
I never did. I had rugby shirts. Rugby shirts were also very 80s.
They're very cool, though.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, as far as if you want, you know, nostalgia accurately, I mean, people do it really well. Obviously, Mad Men is incredible. And, Freaks and Geeks is just so accurate. It just, you cringe throughout the whole thing.
I'm trying to think if there are any nostalgia shows that I watch besides Mad Men, because I didn't watch Freaks and Geeks, or I don't watch the Goldbergs. I didn't watch the Wonder Years. Happy Days, I did love. That's obviously how we kicked off the segment with the music.
Paige, have you seen Halt and Catch Fire on AMC?
I have not. What do you think?
I think it's great, and they also do a really good job of staying in their time period. They're when you're first inventing computers and everything, the 70s, the 80s
yes.
era. So it's really cool. All the music they play, everything they do to make sure they're on par and nothing is outside of the genre is just awesome.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they get in big trouble when they get, you know, oh, that was 3 months later. People love, you know, pointing that stuff out.
Yeah, people want to call you on stuff, yes.
It's one guy. There's one guy out there that watches all these shows and goes, that didn't happen until 87.
Yeah, that's why I don't
read. Impossible.
That's why you can't read too many message boards.
Right.
You stick with the people that are in your circle of...
It's one dude. I promise it's all one guy with like six computers just in his basement. He never moves. Amazon.com now feeds him. It clothes him. It does everything.
Well, here's where it got a little rowdy in the comment section on Facebook. he remembered Chuck Cunningham.
Right. He was in the first, was he even in the first full season or just the first few episodes?
He went upstairs and then never came back downstairs.
I think he went to Vietnam and was killed and they never wanted to tell us. Or maybe Korea. Maybe that's what happened.
I thought he went upstairs to get like a basketball for Richie and then he was gone.
Just gone.
I think it was a mistake. I think I love that he bounced the basketball. That would never have gotten old for me. I think they should have kept him on there.
And just no lines. He walked through scenes bouncing a basketball.
Yes. Yeah. And then the show went on for so long. As they say, they jumped the shark and stuff. I put up a clip about Tom Hanks guesting and playing karate. He was karate fighting the Fonz. It's just they went all different places after a while.
I did not know that. I don't remember. I mean, I remember the episode with Robin Williams when Mork was introduced, but I did not know that Tom Hanks tried karate chopping
A Little Fonz. Case of Revenge, a 1982 episode of Happy Days where the Fonz and Tom Hanks get in a karate fight. But this is incredible.
Did Tom Hanks play like he was like a stud or
He's
was he really
a whole,
geeky?
Yeah. Why did this happen, Paige?
Yes.
He was a jerk. He was a jerk. And I want to say that Fonzie's girlfriend was played by Linda Perlman.
What?
If I'm remembering that correctly, that's very sad. But she was trying to get him to not be in a fight, and then Tom Hanks comes into Al's, and he's challenging him to this fight. And finally she goes, go get him, Fonzie. It's one of their better episodes. But, you know, remember when Mork showed up?
Yes.
Then he got his own show, and then wasn't that in present day?
Yes, that's true. What a good point. Well, there was a time. Maybe he left for a little bit, and there's a time leap. You know, space years,
the lost years.
Yes, so he left in the 50s and came back in the 70s.
And then Joni Lampaci, they had that spinoff, and I don't know what decade they were in. That was just all over the place.
Well, you make a good point that her hair never really reflected whatever time period she was supposed to be representing, because she had a little bit of a mullet for a while, too, didn't she?
She just kind of had a natural look, which was certainly, you know, it really bothered me. And in my head, I imagined that she was a diva, and she wrote it into her contract, like, I get final approval for my hair.
Wow. I did like that on Happy Days. Did you see that she would be that big that she could have that in her contract? But that Mrs. Cunningham was supposed to be it was like one redhead and one dark-haired kid. Okay, so that mom has to be a redhead, and the dad has to have dark hair so that it matches the daughter.
Patty, let's go ahead and take this full circle. The mom from Happy Days was in what other TV show? Gilmore Girls.
Yes, she was.
She was in Gilmore Girls.
And here's the thing. She played three different characters.
Listen to Paige. She played three characters.
Three.
All from the same family.
She plays the original Lorelai,
yep,
because it's his mom,
mm-hmm,
right? And then she plays...
And she died.
She died. Maybe she only played two characters, because then she plays her...
And she comes back as a sister.
Yeah, she comes back.
What
yes.
season are you talking about?
Oh, several.
Oh, all of them.
Oh, yeah. Marion Ross plays Edward Herman's mom on... Yeah, on Gilmore mm-hmm. Girls, and then she comes back, and she's at the funeral playing one of
maybe
the...
Maybe that's what ropes Paige back in, maybe
yeah.
knowing that she's in an episode somewhere.
She plays a cousin who is trying to get her hand... After the matriarch of the family dies, she wants to get these bar glasses that are, like, rimmed in gold, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and Emily Gilmore is trying to hide them because she's like, she's had her eyes on these for years.
This is the good stuff, Paige. You got to get back in.
And okay. I could really go on and on about Marion Ross's appearances on Gilmore Girls. Yes, Paige.
Can you talk like this, like about Melrose Place?
No. Hold on. Give me another
really?
One. No. I never saw an episode of Melrose Place. I saw a few episodes of 90210, but that's way gone in my memory.
I saw a lot of episodes of The Baywatch. I could help you out with those.
I can't help you there.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It's a good show.
I did not know that.
It's a good one.
Wanted to recap for listeners that you guys recommend Gilmore Girls,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yes.
I want people to be watching Benched on USA.
Okay, Benched.
And I also was really pushing for Selfie, which you are now off the hook since it was canceled.
It was canceled.
You're very lucky there. You don't have to do that anymore. But I do like this. I do like Hindsight. I like where it's going to go. I like the clothes are going to be just great. You know they are.
I watched an episode of Bench and I liked it very much, so I will continue to watch that.
I have to read a text message.
Yes.
And I promise I didn't send this. I don't know who did send this.
Is someone going to be mad at us for
no, no, no.
I could sink into Gilmore Girl talk
nope.
anytime. It's
from
ridiculous.
From the 312, please text message us all the time whenever you want to, 312. Patty, let's be clear. Craig He's the Fonz of producers.
He's the Fonz of producers.
Yes, he is. Yep. Meaning, thank you.
You are the Fonz of producers.
Oh, my God. No one's ever called me the Fonz.
You're the Fonz of producers.
I want to throw the microphone up and walk out, like
that's
M1
right.
style.
There you go.
That's the best compliment I'll ever get.
When something doesn't work, you just got to bang it.
I'm just going to hit stuff.
Yeah. We are.
I want to be the Laverne.
Oh, there you go. Laverne. I like that. You can be Laverne. I'll still be Shirley. I'm a little bit nerdy. I think we can all attest to that. I'm a little nerdy.
Kitty.
I was a little goody-two-shoes back in the day. You're listening pretty late. We were hanging out with Paige Wise. We're talking about nostalgic television. If you want to join our conversation, we don't mean to corner the market on this because we could talk, as you could tell, we could go round and round and talk about these things. 312-981-7200. More when we come back with Paige Wiser, 720 WGN. Well, happy birthday, Elvis. It's almost the end of his birthday. But you know what? They'll still be partying in California. So we are in Central Time. We are we're hanging out with Paige Wiser. Did you celebrate Elvis's birthday today? Paige? Hold on a second.
I did not celebrate in any way. And I was wondering, did he exist on Happy Days? Did they ever mention him?
That's a really good question.
That's a really great question. I mean, none of us are an expert, probably.
I mean, you would think because elements of the Fonz were, you know,
right.
It was part Marlon Brando, it was a little James Dean, it was a little Elvis Presley, don't you think?
Yes.
I wonder why they didn't bring it in too racy.
Maybe.
He was.
I just watched that clip of Tom Hanks coming into Al's, and it was the new Al's. It was not the old Al's. It was the one with the saloon swinging doors.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks is a black belt with a red bandana around his head, very sharp.
So tough.
But what was throwing me off was seeing Arthur Fonzarelli in a suit on a date.
Yes.
I know there were times when he didn't wear the leather jacket. It's jarring. I'm gonna go ahead and say
it is. It's uncomfortable whenever he's not in the leather jacket. By the way, one of our listeners called in to request Elvis Presley for his birthday, so you're welcome.
There you go. Yeah. We're doing the Jailhouse Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Paige, we have a caller on the line that wants to join our conversation. We have Peter. Peter, this is Paige. Paige, Peter. Hello.
Paige.
Hi, Peter. Hi.
Hey. I told you I'd call.
Excellent. Thank you.
Peter has the best taste in TV and movies ever.
Uh-oh.
And he wondered if we should count F Troop.
Oh, as a nostalgia, right? Because it was a show about what the Civil War. What were they? The Cavalry? What was the F Troop? What were they?
It was like post Civil War or something like that, and cowboys and Indians and the beloved Hakawi tribe, I believe.
Right.
I don't know. Anything involving Forrest Tucker and Larry Storch is just, you know, A-OK with me.
I guess if you're watching, because, you know, I think what Paige is going for, a nostalgia show, is kind of going, oh, remember when we used to do that? And I think if you watch F Troop and you go, oh, remember when we used to do that, right?
No, I played Oregon Trail, so I figured that might count a little bit.
Yes, I saw that. We saw that those games are all available now. Craig had told me about Oregon Trail. I'd never heard of it being a game.
Great game. You always die of dysentery.
Yeah. Do you
always die of dysentery. You cannot keep the ox alive. The oxes always die, and you die of dysentery.
Can you eat the oxes?
When they die, that's probably the way that you get dysentery.
I don't think you were able to actually do that. I guess, you know, you trade away for rifles, and then you'd be stuck out in the middle, and then dysentery or infected blankets or something like that. Or
see, infected blankets always got me. I never check my blankets.
And this is why F Troop is not a nostalgia show. Peter, thank you so much. And will you call again next week, too? Because Paige has set the bar very high for you for being having the best taste. But I would say Paige has very good taste in television and movies as well. We've covered a lot of things that we like. We just can't find one that we like as much as, like, I Love Gilmore Girls, and you also like Melrose Place. Would you say that's true?
I'm making a list right now as we talk, and I'm going to send them to you to see which ones we really link on.
I think going forward, you and I are both pretty big fans of Scandal. I know that's a current show, so we can't right?
I would say we probably talk about that maybe too much.
Okay.
Maybe.
I don't know. You and I don't know how to put this, but Jake really revs our engines. How's that?
Goodness, please have him be coming back. I'm so worried.
I know, me too. Paige, we will have you back. I've got to run because I love talking to you and I can't get enough, but we'll talk to you again next week on Thursday night.
I would love it. Thank you so much.
Follow Paige Wiser on Facebook and Twitter. We'll talk to her next week. It's Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Before you ever. You know, one of my favorite shows in the past few years, we were talking to Paige about TV, and I was going to ask her, we'll ask her next week, I loved the show Alias. There was just Jennifer Gardner being a badass, and there, you know, the languages she spoke, and the high heels she could fight in. Susan, did you watch Alias?
I watched every episode of Alias.
I own some of them on DVD, can I tell you that?
I loved that show.
The last season fell apart when she became an executive producer. Well, she also had been dating Michael Vartan, who played mm-hmm. the CIA guy, mm-hmm. Which is so strange to think that Bradley Cooper was on the same show, and
I know.
It's really weird, but she, like, then they broke up, and you could kind of see in the way they started producing, like they had him go off because he thought she was dead. Okay, now I'm getting into the weeds again with a TV show I know.
No, that's
well.
Fine. You want me to, I'll get in the trust tree for a second and tell you that the girl I had a huge crush on in high school was a giant Alias fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen every episode.
Oh, there you go.
I did some research, tried to talk to her about stuff.
Oh, I love,
oh, good.
I love that show.
Didn't work out, but it's okay.
But still, yeah. you've invested a time in a show that was a lot of fun for,
yeah.
for the first 3 or 4 years.
Three-ish.
If you've never seen Alias, I think the pilot episode was just so good because you just don't see that it had all these twists and turns because she thinks she's working for the CIA, but she's not really. She's unknowingly a double agent kind of, and her dad. It was just crazy. Wonderful show. But there is this sort of pop culture badass female that we know, whether it's Alias or Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know, there have been a lot of them in the last 20, 30. Foxy Brown, right? Am I remembering that correctly? Is that Pamela, Pam, the black exploitation films, and she played a badass.
Well, Foxy Cleopatra was in one of the Austin Powers movies.
All right. So,
and I think that was named after someone from what you're talking about.
The words that are coming out of your mouth.
The words that you're saying
seem
were who Beyonce played.
Like something else.
In one of the not so good Austin Powers movies.
Well, so the point being that, you know, you have these, and there are undeniably many women who are tough and badasses, you know, but to be able to fight in high heels is a different skill altogether. And in China, one of the things millionaires are really. It's trending, I guess. It's trending amongst millionaires to have hot female bodyguards as an accessory to, you know. And I could kind of see that because I guess if it looks good in the movies and if you're a millionaire, and I guess you would want to spend a lot of money to train attractive women to.
I mean, if you have a lot of money and you're one of the millionaires who spends it, because what I also realize is that a whole lot of millionaires don't spend any money on anything. They keep all their money. But if you're spending it on stuff, yeah, that sounds cool.
Train a 22-year-old woman who was selling makeup to be your bodyguard.
Right. Who can then be like a lethal weapon.
Yeah. And look really good doing it.
Well, and it would also be a surprise if there was someone attacking me and I was walking with like a small woman. They probably would think that was a safe moment.
Yeah.
But no, I have a super assassin.
But then wouldn't you want to have a big dude for people to sort of be a deterrent to not?
So you're saying that instead of just asking for people to attack me and tricking them, I should just have a big dude in the first place?
It's like they're staging it. They're like
right.
asking people to attack them.
They want people to attack their assassins.
Yes.
One of each.
There you go.
Solved.
I
problem
like
solved.
It.
But then they're going to date each other, and you don't want that.
No,
you don't
and then they're going to start to ignore you, and you'll feel
right.
like you're taking second place.
They'll be in the middle of a fight, and you'll get murdered, and then the whole situation, not worth it.
Workplace romance gone completely wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Horribly
assassins
wrong.
Cannot date each other.
They cannot
that's 101.
Date each other. So this young woman who was previously a cosmetic a retailer, she completed a course at the International Security Academy, a Beijing-based training camp, and they train bodyguards capable of serving the growing numbers of China's elite. Do we have like a boot camp for America's elite that we don't know about? Is there
Yeah, I've never heard of this.
Well, there's all kinds of secret societies all around the world.
No, I'm curious now, all the people that have walked by on the street, if any of the like smaller women walking with big guys, if the women were assassins.
Boot camp.
Because definitely it's out there.
Assassin boot camp.
Right?
Am I too old for assassin boot camp?
The next time a whole bunch of people get on the train together and there's a bunch of like small petite women, I'm going to be afraid of them.
And regardless.
Right.
I think we should all be afraid of small petite women. They're taking over the world.
They sure are.
Here, this woman said that she completed this course. She had to crawl through mud and freezing winter cold,
wow,
learn to handle firearms, and stay awake for 24 hours in what she refers to as devil training.
Yeah, that is devil training.
And she had not done a lot of exercise before she started. Now, think about this. You're doing stairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once you master this, we are going to master running. It's not even going to feel bad anymore.
Are you turning me into your bodyguard assassin?
Just saying.
Okay.
I got plans.
So the stairs is the first step.
We're going to end up on the roof. There's going to be a firing range.
And Mr. Miyagi's up there. Yeah. It's going to be incredible.
You got to catch flies with the chopsticks.
Okay.
I'm going to have you splashing water like Ollie.
I'm not cleaning your car. I'm not going to
do
that. Wax on, wax off.
No, we watch Arrow. We're going to splash water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to pour hot tea on your hands.
Okay. I don't know if I want, actually. Hot wax, too. Wasn't there wax?
I think there's wax.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
There's always wax.
There's a lot of torture, so I won't torture you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
There's a show that Craig and I watch called Arrow on the CW, Susan.
It's great.
I watch it, too. You watch it with your son, and
I watch
it with my son.
Right.
I haven't seen every single episode.
You really got to get caught up.
That's right.
But I like it a lot. Mm.
How did you get caught up, Patty? You're watching it on the Amazon Prime?
We watched a little bit on Amazon Prime. Steve and I are a little – we're truly old school. He went to one of those replay stores and bought the season 2 on DVD.
Oh, look at that.
For like $8, which
nice.
Is cheaper than
getting because no one buys those anymore.
That's right. So otherwise they're $2 an episode, which would have been $24 or whatever. No, because there's 22 episodes.
Yeah, no, that would have been like 40, $40, $45, $50.
$8, we got every single episode on DVD.
Wow.
So we caught up during
nice.
Today. We watched the winter finale.
Yeah, which is a real good one.
Yes, it was very good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we watched the Flash winter finale or not. Yes, because now he knows that there was a red Flash and a yellow Flash when his mom died.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right.
Look at us. Look at
Susan's seen it too, yeah.
I've
Boom.
Totally seen it. The red and the yellow Flash. Now, I heard you guys talking earlier about Agent Carter. We missed the boat on DVRing that. When will I want to get in on that, too.
I think you should be able to watch that on
the Hulu.
Yeah, ABC, okay. And ABC.com. I don't know if you – I don't know how that works on your television, if you can do that.
Oh, yeah. All right. I know what you mean.
Oh, the on-demand? Mm-hmm. Whatever?
The first 10 minutes were really good.
And plus, then the rest of it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You only saw 10 minutes. I remember.
See, here's what you have to know. I was not able to do stairs before the show tonight because I caught up on the very last episode of – no, that's not true. We watched Arrow. Uh-huh. And then Steve has been begging us – my husband has been begging, pleading with us for the last several months to watch The Librarians.
Okay.
And Noah Wiley, mm-hmm, and Rebecca Romaine Stamos.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Sounds like a good show.
You know what's funny about it is that I was telling Griffin it's a little bit like Harry Potter for adults and for kids. No, because I mean, he enjoyed it. No, but because so Rebecca Romaine Stamos is some sort of Homeland Security officer, and she's kicking ass and getting these perps or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Noah Wiley pops into the scene because there are magical abilities of this library that he manages. It's a little Warehouse 13. Did you ever watch that show on the Sci-Fi Channel?
I've seen episodes.
Oh, I loved that show.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
That was some good TV right there.
I really enjoyed that show. So it has elements of Warehouse 13, a little bit of Harry Potter because magical things happen. So she has this interaction with him. She receives a letter that tells her she is being considered for a position at the library.
So there's magic.
And as she's... Yeah, yes.
There's magic and a girl who's kicking everyone's butt. That sounds like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Sounds like what you're telling me is Buffy. And they're in a library. They meet a lot in a library.
Did you ever watch the show Leverage?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Did you ever watch the show Leverage?
No, I didn't.
There's an actor from that show that I love, too, that's on is on Librarians. He was the... they all had like, you know,
is that what ropes you in to like a new TV show if it's the actors?
No, not always.
Okay.
No, because Leverage was one of my favorite shows ever. I love that show. It's all about revenge. It's all about how people who are being taken advantage of, and we level the playing ground basically. They get back people's money, and it's kind of like The Equalizer. No, there was not a single person on that show that I would have been like, oh, I got to watch this because Timothy Hutton is on this show, or I don't know these other people. And now, yes, the actors from that show, I would follow them now to other things.
Oh, yeah. No, and speaking of actors that I'm following places, although I'm already there, Edward James Olmos is going to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm so excited. He's going to have a significant role on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever watch West Wing?
Yes, I've seen West Wing.
Did you see when he was up for the Supreme Court Justice? Edward James Olmos was up for the Supreme Court justice position, and almost one of my favorite episodes ever because it made me cry. It made me cry on West Wing. He is he's going to be confirmed in front of the Senate, and they're having the hearings and everything. But on his way, he's on a road trip with his family. They're going antiquing, and he's been arrested, and he's in a small podunk jail, and he doesn't tell the officers who he is. He does it because on principle, he has been arrested for driving while Mexican. And it says, you know what? Do me a favor. I think you can.
I'm going to watch it.
You can find the audio of that on YouTube.
Okay.
We'll come back to our, maybe we'll come back to our Chinese. No, we have an interview. Well,
and then real quick too, from the 847, for Susan, on Saturday, Agent Carter's pilot will be replaced.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
I'm writing that
DVR
down.
On Saturday.
Saturday.
Agent
that's,
Carter.
That's perfect.
To that text, did you enjoy the pilot episode? I'm guessing they did because they're letting us know when it re-airs. 312-981-7200 if you want to join the conversation at any time. And if you remember that, we're talking television. We were talking about Chinese assassins, but if there's an episode of television that you like just stays with you, for me it is that moment on West Wing when Edward James almost refuses to leave the jail cell. Because he's been arrested while driving, while Mexican. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez at 720 WGA. We cover everything. A little television, a little of the serious stuff, and, hot assassins. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And if you hear a little bounce in my voice, usually you see a bounce in someone's step. I have a bounce in my voice. I just read some really great news on my Facebook feed. There's a lot of stuff that you read, and sometimes we pray for people when someone is ill, and we share posts when a dog is missing, which is what I did a couple days ago for a good friend of mine, Karen Omachi, whose beloved family member, Kimo, went missing while she was on vacation. They had the dog kenneled, and I don't know where, and it's not important now because everyone was really worried. I just want to read this for those of you who follow me on Facebook. You know that I posted this not too long ago, a picture of her lovely dog, really cute. For the first time in 2 weeks, my household will be able to sleep. For those of you who are unaware, our dog Kimo escaped from a boarding kennel. And the very first day of their vacation, Susan, when they left, they found out their dog had gone missing.
Oh my gosh.
Just ran off because, you know what? Looking for the family, right?
Oh.
I mean, so everyone was worried, and they were so worried they actually came home early from their trip. They could enjoy themselves, and I could see that. This is the thing, when I used to get a little, I used to flinch a little bit when people would say, "I know how you feel as a mom. I have a dog," and I'd be like, "Could you not?" And mostly when they say it about Declan, I think that's where it gets me. I never really got mad, but I agree. Monty, my dog Monty went missing, and I walked the streets for hours out of our neighborhood for miles. I just kept walking because the idea of your pet who relies on you for love, for safety, for everything is out there, and you don't know if they've been hit by a car. I mean, this is the worst feeling. I could not go to bed. I just wandered the streets yelling for Monty. Oh. And Monty and I had put and by the way, if you're ever wondering about this, if this happens to you, please have pictures handy. What really brought Monty home were pictures on the trees and lampposts. It really was someone walking by. It was this woman had seen Monty's picture on a tree, a telephone pole or something. The internet helps, spreading the word, all of that helps. But sometimes it is just the way we've been doing it for decades. And my friend Karen, they came home early from their vacation, and as you can imagine, the temps here at night were so cold, and each day that passed left a sinking feeling in all of us. This afternoon, we received a call from the Naperville Animal Control stating they think they found their dog. I asked them to send a photo before I raised anybody's hope in our family, and I was truly staring at my beloved Kimo's face. She is she's lost a lot of weight, but we will be able to nurse her back to health. And we want to say thank you to all of our friends who sent positive thoughts and prayers for the safe return of our girl. So Chemo is going to be home and safe with their family again. So I just that's really, really, really awesome.
Wow. How long was Monty gone?
Monty was only gone for 24 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, Monty was gone, and I was – and, you know, Susan, while I was out looking for Monty, I found someone else's dog.
Did you really?
I did. We found an Irish setter named Killian. And we took him to the 16th District Police Department, and he was reunited with his owner too.
Well, that's karma right there. You did a good deed, and then you found Monty, and
it was very strange. And Killian was a sweet. It was raining and it was cold that day, so yeah. I want to what? So it was one of those it seems so, I think, trivial to some people, but those of us who love our pets, like our family members, it's painful.
Did you maybe rescue your pet, or did you just, get it for the kids, or how did
Monty?
Get Monty? Yeah.
Monty, oddly enough, we've been talking about the American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb. When my dad was diagnosed with a small cell lung cancer, I really needed him to work at wanting to survive. And when I was little, we'd adopted a dog named Pepper. Pepper was from the Orphans of the Storm, a beautiful schnoodle, a half schnauzer, half poodle that my dad was devoted to. And she actually lived for 22 years. And my dad said he was never going to have another dog. And when he was sick, I realized something I needed, I thought would work. And I was so glad it turned out well, because it could go either way when you buy a dog, when you adopt a dog for somebody. I just knew that my dad would fall in love with this puppy. Monty is a Maltese Lhasa Apso mix, and for the last 6 months of my dad's life, Monty and my dad were inseparable. And I also knew that Monty would be a connection from my dad when he passed, for my mom. So Monty is really my mom's dog. We all live in the same house, and they are companions for each other and have been for the last 13 years. And
that is a most excellent story.
My dad housebroke Monty. He was he worked really, I know, I'm like trying to find words. I'm being a little clumsy about it. So let's continue our conversation with Joe. Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
Oh, you know what? You have been therapy for me in regards to just listening, because you have so much empathy and you have so much caring and goodness in your heart. As I was telling your producer, I lost my wife last week.
Oh, Joe, I'm so sorry. Oh,
it hurts. And the thing is, you were talking about your dad and losing and the dog being missing. Well, I've got two cats, Zach and Zoe.
Yeah.
And thank God they keep me company.
Yeah.
And they know that something's wrong, because she's missing. And I'll tell you what. She lost, when we got married three years ago, the month after we got married, her daughter was killed in a car accident.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and she left three kids behind. And, she kept crying and crying and mm-hmm. crying. And the worst thing I said, and I hope all your listeners listen to this and keep these words and make sure you never get this out of your mouth. I told her, I said, get over it.
I know.
I have two sons. Mm-hmm. And I call my son tonight in Sacramento, and I was telling him, trying to school him,
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And tell him, hey, you know what? If I lost you, and if I lost Aaron, Adam and Aaron, if I lost either one of you, I don't know how I would react. It would take a long, long, long time. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you for just being so comforting.
Oh, Joe, I wish you I wish you the very best. And I know, here's the thing. I know that you'll never get over it. I know those words will stay with you forever that you said that, but you know that you guys moved on. You know, we say things that
go ahead on.
No, we say things we regret, but we also, but she knew that you didn't intend that either. You know, you were trying to find something.
Yeah.
You wanted her to feel better, and you were trying to find the best way you could. And you know this. It doesn't get any, people will say, here's the thing for you, Joe, people are going to tell you things like, oh, it'll get easier. She's in a better place. She's at peace now. And don't those words just land so heavily on you?
Oh, they do.
They do. It doesn't. For some reason, it's just not comforting. And the hard thing is that people don't realize how much it hurts. That you don't understand why everybody else doesn't feel as badly as you do. So I understand that. I don't think it gets easier. I think the pain gets different. Is all.
Oh yeah, and it's a transition. It's a process. And I remember when my mother was dying, and my sisters. I'm the oldest of seven kids. So anyway, they call me and they said, "Joey, get over here now because mom's going."
Uh-huh.
So I remember holding my mom's hand and took her last breath, and I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
I remember the night that my wife died. She had a heart attack and everything else. We had, she was talking about things, and I said, "You know what? Every marriage has a spat, believe me, you know?" So I said, "You know what? I'll tell you what, Barbara, I got to go. I got to get out, okay?"
Mm-hmm.
So then I went to the bar, had some beers and everything else, and I called her, and I said, "You know what, babe, I'll never leave you, you know, and I wouldn't kick you to the curb. I'll do anything. You've been good to me. I love you. We'll work things out." And then when I came home, she was dead.
Oh,
and that was hard.
I know.
That was harsh. It was very, very harsh. But anyway, I just wanted to call and tell you that you helped me through this pain.
Well, I think the best we can do is help each other, Joe. I thank you so much, and I wish you the very best. And air hugs for you, Joe. Big air hug.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye.
And San Rudeo, St. Jude, you're the one that saves me all the time. And our Lady Guadalupe, thank you.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon. Be well, Joe. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. It is time for our news, and here's Rob Martyr. Listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And many of you who are regular listeners of the show know that once in a while we have a segment called The Midnight Tease, and we talk about adult topics because our feeling is that sex should be fun and funny. And, we've also had some very serious topics. I've told you that I'm uncomfortable with the way my son's teacher tried approaching sex ed when he was in fourth grade and sent home a very long letter trying to explain what she had done. And I was really upset about it because I realized that we still haven't figured out how to talk to our children about sex. And we have on the phone with us Brenda Goodman, who has a documentary covering all the sex ed films that are out there, how we've learned about sex or how we've tried to learn about sex. Brenda, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm nice and warm.
Yes. Well, okay, we'll take it down a notch with rubbing it in. What? Tell us about this documentary, because I watched the trailer for it and I'm so excited about this. I don't think I ever watched a sex ed film. I went to a Lutheran school and our pastor basically told us that boys were going to get excited and girls were going to get their period. That's kind of what I remember.
Well, that's the message of quite a few sex ed films, too. So I don't know that you really missed anything.
I don't think so. But some of these are great, where a kid comes in and he asks his dad, and his dad's trying to figure out how to answer the question, and there's diagrams of fallopian tubes and all kinds. I mean, just the scary stuff.
It is, and it's interesting how many films dealt with fallopian tubes and how little we know about them as we grow up. But there were some good sex ed films, and there, you know, you saw the trailer. We tried to put as many of them as we could in there. You know, just like sex ed in general, it sort of runs the gamut between not very good, horrible, good, and, you know, better.
Right. And in there was also a discussion in the trailer that I watched about how you learned all the things, like all the diseases you could get, venereal diseases. And then, you know, obviously when I was a kid, they told us about AIDS. But I kind of knew that more because of Ryan White. It seems like kids sort of piece it together, and then these films come along, and we're like, I have no idea what's going on now.
Well, I mean, just in terms of what sex ed films were and the history of them, they were originally put together to sort of to reach an immigrant population around the turn of the century.
Really?
So the message was, you know, how to stay healthy and how to stay clean.
Okay, so it was sex hygiene, or at least a personal hygiene, because I think that's what people consider those classes to be, and they rolled sex into it.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
No, I'm just saying, so it started out as personal hygiene courses and films, and then they were like, oh, well, we should probably talk about the whole body. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, I think it was a lot about hygiene because, you know, there were a lot of immigrants. They didn't all speak the same language, and film is a great way to communicate with people, you know, through images.
Right.
And then, you know, a lot of people living together in tight communities, they were no longer living with their families. They, you know, so there was began to be messages about how do people relate to one another.
And what inspired you to start viewing sex ed films and compiling this documentary?
Always ready to be, you know, further educated. I think we're lifelong learners, so I was interested in the topic. I am a professor at USC. I teach about film, so I'm interested in film itself. But I grew up in the South, and in the South when I was growing up, there was a lot of encoded messages about how to behave, some mm-hmm. of which are great.
Right.
Southerners can be mannered and friendly, and some tend to maybe restrict behavior a little bit. So I was curious, you know, how did the rest of the world communicate about sex, or the rest of America? And we have this great archive at USC that had a lot of sex ed films, so I started watching them.
And how long did it take you to put this documentary together once you started watching the sex ed films?
Well, the whole documentary from beginning to, you know, when we started, mm-hmm. when we finished, actually took almost 6 years.
Oh, wow. So, and you know, when you're watching these sex ed films, it had to have the range of, you know, obviously engaging, they're interesting, but I'm guessing there were a lot that were very amusing considering the times that they were made. Is that correct?
Totally. I mean, there's one that's in the documentary, and it's got a 30-year-old man in the bathtub, and he's pretending to be like a 3-year-old, and he's singing a country western song about masturbation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When was that from?
That was the 70s. You know, the 70s was like a whole another era in regards to sex ed films, about filmmaking in general, but sex ed films in particular.
Was he at least wearing like a cowboy hat or something while he was singing?
A fireman's cap.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes. Well, and I love that he was talking about masturbating because I don't think I ever learned. I still haven't really learned that. I mean, I've been self-taught, which I think is probably as many of us have. But I remember being afraid and embarrassed about what that meant, and I don't remember that ever coming up in sex ed classes or my mom caught me and I got in trouble. It was really all that happened.
Mm. So yeah, I don't think there was or still is maybe there is now, but I don't think there was any film when I was growing up or when you were growing up that talked about masturbating for women. There were some that talked about it to boys, but it was like for girls, you know, girls, according to these movies, had no stake in pleasure whatsoever.
Yeah, it was, how we started the conversation was that, you know, the scary things were going to happen to us. We were going to get our period, we were going to have to grow babies, we were going to get these boobs that guys weren't going to stop wanting to look at. And, you know, it's more like a lot of pressure on us. And, I'm not sure how guys took their information. But for me, it was like I learned from Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was. And that's still even an outdated book. I didn't realize that they've updated that one. And you have interviews throughout the documentary. And I noticed there was a woman who's a minister. Is that correct?
Yes. Reverend Hafner.
And I was fascinated. I can't wait to see the documentary because I'm curious about all the interviews. There was one woman who said the films gave me the information I was supposed to have to become the woman I am, which I thought was a really profound thing to say, you know, for her times. And that how did that strike you?
It struck me as very true. I mean, you know, what she was talking about is that, you know, she was supposed to be somewhat repressed. She was not supposed to be at all filled with desire. And she goes on to talk about how, because when she hit puberty, she was getting this one message, you know, from the films and the community, and she was getting another message from her body, and she felt, you know, like she was going to split in two.
Right. And I think we all do. We all feel like there's, you know, culturally there's an expectation. Is there something culturally that has changed, and I'm going to assume yes, in the way sex ed films, are there still sex ed films being distributed to schools?
There are. And it was a very interesting arc. I mean, I went in to this thinking that I was going to see a progression, and I was going to, you know, look at the old sex ed films and then look at more modern ones. That we had evolved in our way of communicating about sex. But in fact, it's not that straightforward. So many films were made to reach soldiers, particularly during World War One and World War Two,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, and the message was, you know, look, you're a guy, we think you're going to have sex, the sex drive is strong, you know, be a good soldier and wear a condom. And there was some no take on condom being sinful or having any problems in terms of failure.
Right.
Once we got to the AIDS epidemic, that message changed. Even though, you know, there was a concern that kids protect themselves, there was also another group of people that felt like here was a way to talk about not having sex till marriage. And so when the whole abstinence movement came in, the message changed again.
Huh. See, and that's compelling, and I'm looking forward to seeing your documentary. When is this being released, soon, or is this already out there?
It is shown. You know, I just found out myself because I read the Chicago Trib article that it's playing this weekend at a local theater. And it's coming out on DVD February 3rd and probably on iTunes and maybe on Netflix.
See, and I'm looking forward to, because as I mentioned when we started, I do try to talk about sex, you know, and we sometimes we're silly about it, sometimes we're serious about it, and I think that's kind of the way to go is, you know, find out what works for you, and it sounds like over the decades, over the last century, that's what, you know, these creators of these films have tried to do, you know, whether it's influenced by culture or, I'm guessing, you know, there were some that had to be religiously based because a lot of, you know, the schools wanted to approach that but didn't really know how to. So I'm looking forward to your documentary. Do you have time maybe to talk to us again as, you know, more people have the opportunity to see your documentary?
I'd love to.
Excellent. And I'm excited to talk to you again because you have a, you know, we're sort of just talking about this documentary, but there's many film projects that you've been involved in that we'd like to talk to you about. You know, some of the films that you've done in the past, and you work for, you said it was USC? Professor.
Yes, I teach film at USC School of Cinematic Arts.
Well, we have so much to learn from you, and beginning with your sex ed documentary, and we will post the theater that's going to be at this weekend and make sure that people know more about that. And how can people find out more about you?
They can go to our website, which is sexedmovie.com.
And that's a great way to find out more information. We will talk to Brenda Goodman, Dr. Goodman. I apologize. I should have started the conversation that way.
No. You don't, I'm not a doctor.
Well, professor. Then Professor Goodman. Is that all right? All right. Professor Brenda Goodman has graciously given us her time tonight. We look forward to talking to you again. Have a wonderful evening and, you know, belated Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you. This is Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
One, two, three, four. Give me a break.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. I don't, that's surprising that that's a jingle I know very well. I don't know that I would have known the rest of those lyrics, but I definitely know the
chorus. Yeah, I don't know that
anybody
knows the rest of those lyrics.
I'm a purist when it comes to Kit Kats.
Okay.
I like my Kit Kats the way they've been in the orange wrapper and the just milk chocolate. That's
it's the chocolate, the wafer.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the few milk chocolate products that I like. I still like. I like if it comes in dark chocolate, I'm going to take that. If it comes in white chocolate, don't even bring
it. Does. It does.
Don't even bring that weak stuff around.
It does come in white chocolate.
I'm sure
it's actually
it does.
Quite tasty.
Is it tasty? I did like at Halloween those white chocolate bars that we had. We had those were in the mix.
Yeah, they were. And they were great.
I don't know what they were. I don't even.
They're the cookies and cream. The Hershey's cookies and cream, which is a white chocolate with little, you know,
flex of cookie.
Whatever that is.
Yes.
I love that.
Do Kit Kats come in dark chocolate? They should.
Yeah, I think they come in dark chocolate. I'll look that up.
Well, in Japan, apparently, they come in 15 different flavors, which just sounds ridiculous and unnecessary. And you know what else? I would go so far to say is no longer a Kit Kat. And some of these shapes, they're not wafer like. They're like, I don't know, like blobs, like Kit Kat blobs. That's not a Kit Kat. That's a tactic. I'm gonna, you know what? Go backwards.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you did there.
I don't know. So this writer decided to try some flavors from Japan, and apparently they have – I can't even imagine why. Okay, so she ordered them from Japan. They have the Japanese Kit Kat flavors. You can get the whole box of them for $68. Now, would you – I'm guessing she writes for somebody who will reimburse you. I'm sorry, this guy, Mike Fahey, who writes for Kotaku. So they try all different kinds of things culturally. Japanese.
Were you going to ask if I were to try them, would I buy a box of all of them?
Yeah. Do you think that you could get the company to do it for you? Would you have the WGN reimburse you for
research?
I
would do this. I would buy all
for
these.
For $68.
Yeah, for all these different kinds of Kit Kat bars?
Yeah, you get a brilliant red box where untold mysteries lurk behind 16 cardboard cutouts. So they make it like an adventure for you to get these different flavors, these 15 different flavors. And there's fruit flavor. The Japanese fruit flavored Kit Kats, and I understand like chocolate and a little jelly jam, like some strawberry flavored. That's good,
but you know,
not on my Kit Kat.
Chocolate milk was good for a long time, and then all of a sudden they came out with this thing called strawberry milk, and that wasn't so bad. It wasn't as good as chocolate milk, but it was okay.
I'm so angry right now.
Well, on the first Kit Kat bar on the fruit list is strawberry.
Here's why I'm angry.
Go ahead.
I really want some strawberry milk.
No, I know, because it's great, right?
Like some part of, like my teeth are itching.
So out of this 15 list, this first one I can get behind. Yes. I can get behind strawberry.
So strawberry, but it's not chocolate. What? So it's so apparently some sort of strawberry coating has been put on the wafer. And see, if it was strawberry, I'd understand if it was like layered inside the wafer and then chocolate on top of that.
Right.
Now we're cooking with strawberries.
Right. And as this writer says, the strawberry is a symbol of innocence and sweetness.
And so why does anything have to be a symbol of anything? It's a friggin' Kit Kat. And note that as perhaps the first time I said friggin'.
That is the first time.
Friggin' on the show, right. Anyway.
It's a frackin' Kit Kat bar.
Look, we went sci-fi.
I know.
What is on
Scrubs? Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica, but also one of the doctors on Scrubs has another word, too.
Oh, I don't know. I've seen a lot of Scrubs.
It might be frack.
You're a Scrubs fan?
I love Scrubs.
Maybe Paige Wiser is a Scrubs fan.
Ooh, we should see if... Yeah.
We should check in on that.
We could bond on that. this writer is so funny. Unwrapping the strawberry Kit Kat is like opening the doors to an oddly indoor strawberry orchard. Really? It's a Kit Kat bar. Craig, you know what's happening here? Someone wanted to be reimbursed for their box of Kit Kats.
Right. They really wanted to write a good review. The sweet scent washes over you. A Beatles song starts playing and the pink sticks leap to your hand.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
That's a lot of imagery right there.
It really is. I wonder if that's true. I want to try this one. Like I said, I get behind strawberry Kit Kat.
Citrus Golden Blend?
Not as much.
Yeah, that's...
We're going a weird direction.
I'm sorry.
You did that all
on WGNradio.com. You can watch that live stream. If you get there quickly, you can see what just happened with my tongue.
Uh-huh.
I ever had a lemon cooler cookie? No.
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 Lemon cooler cookie.
Yes.
So that's supposed to be like a wine cooler, but in cookie form?
No, it's a lemon. It's kind of a, I don't know, because I haven't had one. I'm speculating.
Okay.
I have had one, and if I enjoyed it, I would have remembered.
Yeah.
I could tell you about the experience. So the Citrus Golden Blend Kit Kat starts off exactly like one of those, the kind with powdered sugar on it. There's a cool, fresh feeling to the orange-coated wafers that carries me back to better days. This writer, I'm telling you, just wanted to be reimbursed for this box of Kit Kats. But these are the flavors that truly exist in Japan for Kit Kats. And I'm telling it's not a Kit Kat anymore. Call it something else. I don't know what. I'm not going to make up a Japanese word for you. Not a Kit Kat. Okay. Just because you put stuff on a wafer, and I almost use a dirty word right there again. Just because you put stuff
on a... I have a dump button.
Just because you put stuff on a wafer...
Right. Doesn't mean that you made a Kit Kat.
Does not.
That's not all it takes.
Why am I so angry about Kit Kats?
I don't know, because there's crazy flavors. There's a pear flavor, a Sinshu apple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now this is where it goes horribly wrong.
Now we get into veggies.
Yeah, veggies. Really? Do you need an edamame Kit Kat? What are the Japanese? I mean,
edamame soybean.
How many different ways are they looking to consume food that they can't just eat their citrus and their pears
right, separately.
Away from their Kit Kats? Right. Why don't you have a pear in one hand and a Kit Kat in another hand and I just eat it that way?
I wonder if the kids in Japan say something like, I don't have to eat my vegetables, I'm having the veggie Kit Kat.
Or your purple sweet potato Kit Kat.
Okay.
Purple. Hold on to that. Yeah.
Right.
Live there. Live at purple sweet potato Kit Kat.
Right. I'm confused what a purple sweet potato is. Can you get one of those?
Do you think that they'll play Audio of Us in Japan making fun of their purple sweet potato Kit Kat?
Is that a thing? Is a purple sweet potato a thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never had one of those. I've never noticed the color of the sweet potato.
I feel like we now must find a restaurant that makes purple sweet potatoes.
Are those good?
I'll bet you that someplace like a Knife and Tyne would
makes
probably.
A purple sweet potato. Yeah. Is that.
Chef Richard, I'm guessing he would dabble in something like that.
Do you like purple sweet potatoes? Mm-hmm. Why is it. What's the purple do?
Because purple makes you happy.
Oh. Does it taste purple?
No, it doesn't taste purple. Does anything taste purple?
Yeah, purple drink.
Purple. Yeah, I would say.
That tastes exactly purple.
I'm trying to think. I remember there'd be purple Nurples. That's what we used to drink in college. We drank purple Nurples.
I don't know what's in that. Susan loved that.
Susan's like, that was not at O'Malley's.
I think you were hanging out in classier places than I was.
The purple Nurple is a super classy drink.
Purple Nurples. Or maybe that was something we did to each other. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It sounds like something you might have done.
Each other. Hot Japanese chili Kit Kats.
Oh.
Susan, is that something you would dabble with?
If you had them downstairs and like, oh, hey, come on down. I mean, we'd come down and try them.
She makes a good point.
Yeah, if we had a hot Japanese chili Kit Kat in studio, I'd eat it too.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're going in the right direction. Okay,
right.
Cinnamon cookie Kit Kat.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Cinnamon cookie.
That's
that sounds like comfort food.
Exactly correct.
Mm-hmm. Strawberry.
I read cinnamon's bad for your liver, though. I read a whole article
on this.
Yes. And
that's not good news.
I've been taking cinnamon supplements. I'm in so much trouble. I used to.
We'll talk.
I used to take cinnamon supplements.
How bad for your liver? Are we talking
It was like the doctor column in the Tribune.
If it was Oz, he can stick it somewhere because he's
Oz.
Been lying.
No, not Oz. This was when you ask the medical professional in the Tribune, that section. And it was like a whole thing about how damaging cinnamon can be to your liver. And I'm like, oh, we don't need that.
No. How about strawberry cheesecake? Did they say anything about strawberry cheesecake?
No,
damaging your liver?
Mm-mm. Oh, good. You're fine.
Again, strawberry Kit Kat, down with it. Strawberry cheesecake, more down with it.
You know what it is, though? It's that they're calling it a Kit Kat.
Right. That's the problem, right? This is a dessert that I'd eat, but I don't know that I'd think of it as a Kit Kat.
You know what it is? It's a strawberry cheesecake wafer.
Which I'm into.
Although now that I think about it, really, a Kit Kat's a chocolate wafer. Why am I so angry?
Yeah, I don't know.
This makes no sense.
You're
whatsoever.
Very defensive about your Kit Kats.
My Kit Kats. Yeah, what do I care? Go eat your strawberry cheesecake, purple potato, edamame Kit Kats, wherever
you
want.
You do your own thing, Japan. Your own thing.
You go own your Kit Kats.
Yeah.
How about matcha green tea Kit Kats?
I don't know. I don't know about that one. Do you want to get to the weird stuff?
The weird stuff? Brown sugar syrup. Red bean sandwich.
I've always enjoyed a red bean sandwich.
Kit Kat. This is like a weird Chinese fortune cookie thing. Everything ends with Kit Kat in bed. Instead of in bed, it's Kit Kat.
Kit Kat.
Wasabi. Kit Kat.
Oh, wow. See, that's not... That doesn't make any sense. Do you like wasabi nuts? Is that what they are? Right?
I like hot nuts.
Oh, here we go.
Out of context. Do you enjoy some wasabi nuts?
Now, would you say that it's more spicy nuts? Because hot nuts are actually like steaming nuts.
Right. Like you're talking about some heated nuts.
We can't go down this road.
As opposed to some spicy nuts.
I'm sorry.
You don't prefer a warm set of nuts. You need spicy ones.
Given my druthers? I mean,
I think Rob really wants to do a news now.
I think he probably wants me to take a breath and let that air out for a minute. Let's just go ahead and let that air out. Let's just, you know what?
You need the warm nuts to air out?
Give him a little space between that.
Sure.
Yes. No, I'll finish answering this question.
Go ahead. What nuts do you prefer? If you had to pick, if there's a whole set, all the kinds are in front of you, which ones do you grab for?
Hold on a second. I prefer salty nuts.
Sure. Right.
I really didn't give it any room.
They're a classic.
Just, Oh, man. Coming up after the news, you know, if I made you angry right there, if that seems sophomoric, let's see what you think about political cartoonist Scott Stantis. And we'll talk about humor and what's happened recently in international news and the catastrophic, tragic events in Paris. I know you're listening pretty late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I'm honored to welcome in studio the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. Santa, see, I told you I would get it wrong.
Okay.
You said it to me. I looked down, and I have a friend named Scott. You know what? It doesn't even matter why I got it
you
wrong.
You can't even say his name.
Stantis. Scott Stantis has, I'm sure, been busy for the last couple days for an unfortunate and tragic reason. And we talked about this last night, and even my husband was saying, I don't know how to feel about this because it's so crazy that these terrorists went in and killed all, you know, political writers and cartoonists and, you know, people who just were. I can't begin to talk about it. And so you've been talking about this, I'm sure.
I have, and I can't make any more sense of it than you can or your husband. I mean, it is nuts. I mean, it, on the one hand, it's in a weird, twisted way kind of flattering because it confirms what I believe, which is cartoons matter. They're important. They affect people on a very emotional, ethereal level.
Mm-hmm.
But to go and kill someone for this, is your God so weak, so humorless that he or she can't take a joke?
Exactly. And what? But there's something about the visual, clearly, that is so much. And you know, picture's worth a thousand words. Even more so here than anything else. You know, Conan O'Brien mentioned this last night. Comics don't want to have to think before we speak. We don't want to wonder if this is going to be something that can cost us our lives. But when you guys put down a picture, it does. I mean, this is something that it crosses language barriers. When this cartoonist, and can you tell me how to pronounce his name? Charles, do you know his last name? Yeah,
it's actually the publication is. Do you have it written down there? Because I always forget.
See, now I know exactly. Isn't this terrible? Even this, we're like something I can't pronounce. Well, to the artist that that they were targeting in particular.
Oh, okay, the artist's name. No, I couldn't say it anyway.
And there's a picture of a man kissing Muhammad, and clearly that's going to set off, you know, all kinds of cultural and religious anger. But to the level where you want to kill somebody is incomprehensible to all of us.
Well, and as a practicing Catholic, believe me. Over the last decade, my faith, my church, has been portrayed in every possible, some of it deserved, by the way, in every heinous possible way you could imagine in cartoons and in other graphic ways. So, you know, and you know what you do? You can get mad. You can say this went over a line. You can boycott. You can do a number of things in this country to vent your frustration at someone. You don't kill them.
No.
It's crazy.
Well, and when you say that it's kind of flattering, I think, you know, it's galvanized people and definitely brought attention to the talents and the abilities of graphic artists. And, I mean, the artwork that came out yesterday was astounding. It was beautiful. And that's the horrible thing about tragedy is it does kind of create this, you know, this wonderful, you know, well, we're going to unite.
Yeah. And in fact, there was a terrific cartoonist. I believe it was a French cartoonist. And it was a magnificent piece. I wish my cartoon stinks compared to what this was. And it was three pencils. The first one was yesterday. And it's a whole pencil today. And it's a broken pencil. And the third one is tomorrow. And there are two pieces of a pencil. And they've both been sharpened.
That one's not. And that's on my Facebook page. It's Lucille Clerc is the artist. A lot of people thought it was Bansky. And so, yeah, that's that was the exact same one that I thought was so simple, profound, and elegant.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, doesn't describe my work nearly often enough.
Well,
I'm
but
afraid.
I mean, see, the thing about humorous is that we do that, don't we? Like, we can't let our own work stand on. I'm a stand-up comic. That's why.
Hard to believe.
We can't let it just, like, be on its own. We have to go, I wish I'd done that.
Oh, yeah. No, do you ever go off stage and say, okay, that was the best, that is the best that has ever been done or ever will be done.
No.
Ever. You always go, oh, I forgot this. Oh, you know, I walk home every night. I go, oh, one word we've made it perfect.
rats.
Yeah.
But you have tomorrow.
Exactly. There's always tomorrow. And unfortunately, in this case, it's a satire newspaper. None of us know how to pronounce, which is fine. Which I think we have to ask Craig to pull it up for us. I don't have any.
Once you see
device.
It, you will be embarrassed because it's easy to say. It's Charlie, which is because they began by running Charlie Brown.
Right.
That's why the
newspaper
Charlie
is Charlie Hebdo.
Charlie Hebdo. Hebdo. Charlie
Hebdo.
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 Yeah, Hebdo.
H-E. Hebdo. Yep.
Okay.
So,
okay. Gosh, I've only been saying it like 3 million times in the last 24 hours, yes.
And they killed the editor. They killed a lot of the
staff. Who
was also
a cartoonist.
Okay.
And three other cartoonists, probably some of the most prominent cartoonists in France. So this was a hit. The death toll, as I understand it, as of this afternoon was 12.
Right.
There are 4 critically wounded who are in hospital right now. And to their credit, Charlie Hebdo is coming out with an edition next week. And it's about a 30,000-40,000, weekly publication. They're going to print over 1 million of them.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And wouldn't you love to have one?
I think that we should have one. They were firebombed 3 years ago.
Right.
And that didn't shake them. And this is about freedom. This is about, and there is an element of like, how do we reach people and go, this is obviously a global problem when it comes to terrorism. How can you hate us this much?
Well, and it's not just Islamists. I mean, I wrote a column that ran today, and I mentioned that back in 1991, I was working at the Arizona Republic, and Arizona was voting on a Martin Luther King holiday. And there are very strong racial overtones to the people fighting against this. It lost. I did a cartoon, and the day the cartoon ran, I came into my office and my answering machine and push the button, and there's a voice that said, after I kill you, I'm going to kill your 2 kids.
Wow.
And this is before the internet, so the fact that he knew I had 2 kids meant he did a little research, and that was terrifying. And Arizona had a history because Don Bowles was a reporter for the Arizona Republic in 1976, and his car was blown up. So there's a history in Arizona of, blowing journalists up, which I found unpleasant, and the police took the threat seriously, and I had police protection for a few weeks. And this came from a racist. This is not,
religiously based, right.
Right. So, it can come from anywhere. And you mentioned something that just really hit me a few minutes ago about how as a comedian and as a commentator, as a cartoonist, you don't want to have that thought in the back of your head. Is this a dangerous thing to say? It's always a dangerous thing to say. I mean, comedy, you do it. Mm-hmm. And humor is a dangerous thing because there's always a victim. You're always making fun of someone.
Right.
Or something. There's always a victim. And there, a lot of them don't have a sense of humor.
No, they don't.
So I've dealt with politicians over a 30-plus year career, and they've been very unhappy with what I do.
Good job. Well done, sir.
Yes.
Well done.
Can I tell you a quick funny
Please.
Story? Which your
No,
audience
absolutely.
Will
have... If it's funny, I absolutely do not want to hear it, Scott.
Well, I was working at the Birmingham News for 13 years, and we had a mayor who was massive. Bernard Kincaid was his name. And Mayor Kincaid really was getting, and I drew him much bigger than he actually was, but he was a big, big fella. And every election cycle, he would lose. He'd stop drinking is what would happen. And he'd lose a lot of weight.
Okay.
And so I'll never forget, last time he ran for election, I'm sitting in my cubicle, and I'm just kind of sketching around. And I hear, I turn around, and there's Mayor Kincaid. He just goes, he just goes up and down his body, points to his body, goes, huh? And walks away.
Really?
Like, yes.
Look at me. Look at
huh.
me.
He just gestures to himself, like, huh?
Yeah.
Take that.
Wow.
So, people take this stuff seriously. I was, and here in Illinois, I've heard rumors that a lot of elected officials do not care for the way I portray them. In fact, Karen Lewis, the famous speech where she made fun of the speech impediment for the Secretary of Education as a lisp, and she said graciously that if he went to her school, he'd have that beaten out of him, which was
a
delightful
thing.
Yeah. But prior to saying that, she was complaining about a cartoon I had drawn of her, that I drew her fat and black.
Right. Well, there are elements of, one, she's black, and two, she was.
She was heavy.
Yes, heavy.
And, but she talked about how her husband went through the roof and wanted to beat me up if he ever met me. And so, this stuff happens.
Because we all want to see ourselves in the best light, right? And a cartoonist, a comic, that's not our job.
Absolutely.
It's not our job. And, and you may not like what our job is and how we carry it out, but is that really, I mean, how does that, I'm trying for my New Year's resolution to why does it matter? Why do things make me so angry? And maybe that's what we all need to do. What is it saying about me? This has nothing to do with them. It has to do with you. The terrorists, people who want to threaten your life, there's something wrong with them. not with you.
Right. No,
that's ultimately what it comes down to. Clearly, we know that. We know that instinctively. We just don't say that.
Have you ever been so offended that you really wanted, I mean, just even cause someone physical harm? I mean,
I don't even like complain on Facebook or Twitter anymore. I'm just like, ah, that happened. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just walk away.
That comes with age, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I've seen it before. You know,
I have
my younger friends are like, oh, can you believe blah, blah, blah. I go, dude, it's happened before.
Yeah.
And it'll probably happen again. So deep cleansing breaths.
Well, people
and
are going to
move forward.
Exactly. So move forward when it comes to Scott, Santas, and I. When we say things or print things and draw things that maybe it's not for you that day. You know what?
It's not for you, but it is my job is to tick you off. My job is to engage you. Mm-hmm. And if you are, I tend to come from the right, not always, but most times. And, you know, so people from the left are going to look at my cartoons and get angry. And that's fine.
And good.
And I hope they contact me.
Right. And what is it that you're saying that maybe people can do better, whether it's on either side of the aisle?
Well, and they just don't like to be told they're wrong. And there are issues that are very, very powerful. One of the most strongest cartoons I ever drew. And this is how you get your wife not to talk to you for 2 days, was when Justice Blackmun, he wrote the Roe v. Wade decision.
Okay.
And he's in front of the pearly gates, and there are just millions of fetuses and babies in front of him. And one of them is asking him, so what trimester were you in?
Wow.
That is a great cartoon because it's almost irrefutable logic behind it.
Right.
I mean, you, regardless of where you land on that, my wife. Can I give you some insight into my marriage?
Please. The doctor is in.
Then we can talk about my mother. Put
your feet up.
But Janine, who I love above all others, we've now been married. We're celebrating 33 years this year of marriage. And but 1988, election day, she is very pregnant and she pops. You know, she's ready to go. Mm-hmm. And it was the Dukakis-Bush election.
Sure. The infamous tank helmet. Sure.
Yes. Yeah. There mm-hmm. is. Yeah. Made him look like a penis, actually.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a problem.
And driving to the hospital, and she's in labor, and we're talking about not like the cute little, you know, mm-hmm. early. No, we're talking about full on, you did this to me, you son of a labor. It was, but she still insisted that I pull the car over at the polling place mm-hmm. so she could cancel my vote.
Oh, yeah, she had to cancel out your vote.
Oh, yeah.
You voted. She's got to make sure that she balances that.
Yes, absolutely. So that's most of my friends, I mean, are, I just, God, that sounds condescending as hell, doesn't it? But most of my friends are liberals because conservatives, I like to see them rule. I just, they're not funny people generally.
No, many people have pointed that out. I did a conservative talk show in Texas. Janine Turner was one of the guests. Mm. I was they picked me because you couldn't tell what my politics were. So they just, you know, I had to do stand up and it was fun to do. But it was kind of liberals do snarky. And conservatives sometimes just come across as angry. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and shrill.
And shrill.
And shrill. So, and that's not funny. That's not pleasant to watch.
And we're not, and by the way, right now I just made someone angry. And
Is fine. That's our job. And you know what? Get over it, people.
Although Dennis Miller used to be snarky, and then he got really angry more than anything else.
Well, and then he uses words that haven't been used since 13th century France.
And that used to be the fun part of it, though. Do you know what I mean?
Remember? Yeah.
He used to pick a word and write the joke backwards. He would write the end of it. We've been talking to Scott Santas, and you can find him every single day. Every single day?
Five days a week.
And the business days.
And I do a comic strip called Prickly City, which is in the paper every day.
Prickly City. And we have loved having you. Will you come back?
Oh, this has been more than fun. Thank you.
More than fun. Can you put that in my? I think that goes in my write up. More than fun.
More than fun.
And I know you're going to be busy again tomorrow. And unfortunately, I wish that we talked to you sooner instead of like, hey, something really bad happened. Go get Scott Santas.
Piles of dirt. Actually, I'm 3/4 French. I'm a cartoonist and I'm alive. So today is a good day.
It's a very good day.
It's score.
Yes. And the police escorts will find you on the way out. No, I thank you so much. And we look forward to talking to you again. Again, find Scott Santas in the Chicago Tribune. He's got Prickly City and he's our political cartoonist. And, you know, you guys are kind of heroes this week.
We are.
You are.
It's nice. It's nice to be recognized for a week.
Because you're a symbol of freedom this week. And you should be. You are a symbol of freedom all the time. That's what this is about. It is about, you know, freedom of expression. And that's what you do every day. We look forward. And do you have a Twitter handle? I don't want to miss that.
I do. @SSTANTIS. S. Stantis.
S. Stantis. I like that you looked up, too, because I would have had to wait a minute to see how I would spell it.
Yeah. You know, the damnedest thing. I was working freelancing for an Arizona paper, and the guy was just great. We just put the cartoons in, and one morning he calls me up and says, Scott, how many T's in your last name? I go, two. He goes, not today.
Not today.
I had misspelled my own name.
Funny thing. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, you too.
More with Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez in just a moment. 720 WGN. Because the players gonna play, 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 and the haters gonna hate, 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 baby. I'm just gonna shake, 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 shake. Hey, producer Craig Collins, I just saw a meme that made me think of you. It was a picture of, it said, life's too short to not enjoy Taylor Swift's music.
Amen to that. It's way too short.
Way too short.
Oh, because the music's so good.
That's a fun song. I am a big fan now of Meghan Trainor's, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
A lot of people are.
Yeah.
A lot of people. She's sweeping the world.
Yeah. And what's the controversy with Iggy Azalea that...
I don't know. I don't follow that stuff.
There's a song I like called Black Widow, and I was dancing to that. Mm-hmm. And Steve goes, you realize she's talking about, you know, taking out her lover or her husband or
well,
her male counterpart.
That's
what Black Widows do.
Yeah.
Comedian Tim Clue had this great bit about how, you know, because Black Widows, after they have intercourse, they take out their lover. And he goes, at what point, like, are you having a good time, and then realize it's going horribly, horribly wrong? hey, you're eating my head. They're not the right one. So,
so I see what you said there.
I don't think Tim put it that way. He's very clean comic,
right.
But I think that Speaking of the comedy world, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you realize, did you know that Dustin Diamond performed stand-up comedy?
No, I had no idea that Screech from Saved by the Bell did stand-up comedy.
So did Skippy.
Was he funny?
Oh, I don't know. Oh. There are several people. Now, Dynamite from Good Times, J.J. Walker.
Dynamite!
Thank you. Very well
done.
You're
welcome. Thank you.
He was a stand-up comedian before he got Good Times. So the fact that he went out on the road, understandable. And varying, a lot of conflicting stories about whether he's a great guy on the road or kind of a jerk. A lot of different, I mean, he was a big star in the 70s. And so I could see sort of having a tough time reconciling the fact that you are now in Lake Okoboji, Iowa, which is a real place that I've performed. Okoboji. Mm-hmm. Beautiful
Sounds
place.
Lovely.
Not far from Mason City, where Okoboji.
How are the Okoboji lakes?
Beautiful.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Clear lakes even.
Yeah.
312-981-7200 Lake Okoboji. Go ahead
call
and give us a call.
If you swam in Lake Okoboji,
and that's where J.J. Walker and I'm guessing Dustin Diamond probably performed there. A lot of us, you know, when you're on the road, our paths cross. Usually, we miss each other by a week. But
it sounds like you're lucky that you missed Dustin Diamond, that you were not crossing paths with that guy.
I wonder if he was,
because he gets a little stabby.
A good kid, right? Well, now it's funny that you say that, because according to this article in People Magazine, right? So we all saw the social media reports and all the, you know, mostly we saw it in passing, because who really is going to? None of us are going down to read the police records in Port Washington, Wisconsin, as to actually what happened. And he was charged with second degree recklessly endangering safety, which is a long charge, I think. But and also disorderly conduct and carrying a concealed weapon after he admitted he was armed with a knife, right? So there was did you see this? He didn't actually stab anybody. He said that he flashed the knife during an altercation. And it sounds like, and by the way, during this report, during this article, the status of the woman he said he was trying to protect goes from fiance to wife. So I'm not sure if they got married during the fight, because it says here that he was defending
his... He was flashing one person a knife and her a ring, and he was just doing everything.
Right, because at one moment she's his fiance. He told police he was defending his 27-year-old fiance, Amanda Schutz, and that's her real name, traditional spelling. Diamond's defense attorney says no one saw the former child stab anyone. But here's my question. I can't find anywhere in this article, was anyone stabbed? Did anyone receive any knife wounds? Is there anyone in the hospital? Are there stitches? I can't find any of that. This is a very strange story. But there was so no one saw the former child star stab anyone during the altercation.
So it appears that his girlfriend or fiance or wife, whatever his relationship is to her, she was bleeding.
She was bleeding, but yeah. he didn't stab her.
Well, we don't know.
That's
who
why he was.
Who.
But it's, he says that he got involved because he turned around. Apparently, someone was bumping into his right. woman. Let's mm-hmm. go with woman now.
His woman. Yeah, let's just call it Screech's woman.
A Screech's woman, because we don't know. She changes status during this article from fiance to wife.
Screech's lady.
Lady. Mm-hmm. I like that. Lady's good.
Okay.
Woman.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. So there is no evidence Dustin Diamond touched anyone with his knife.
He just had one, and during an altercation, he showed it to people, which is usually a mistake. I would say that if you want to get accused of stabbing people, do that. But if you don't, if you want to avoid the stabbing accusation, don't show people a knife while you're fighting them.
Don't carry the knife.
Yeah, maybe don't carry the knife. That's probably a good call.
Yeah, why? I mean, carrying a knife around implies that you are planning to – I mean, it's the same thing. I mean – is it wrong that I can kind of understand carrying a gun but not understand carrying around a knife? Knife implies a knife implies that you're expecting hand-to-hand combat.
Well, and you're also choosing knife, which is a weird choice, I think, now. Because a gun would be more the practical choice. If you're expecting someone to attack you, mm-hmm. you know, as Indiana Jones has showed us, you can kind of just shoot the guy.
Yes.
If he's attacking you with something other than a gun, you can shoot him.
Right.
But a knife means you're gonna fight a different way.
Yes.
Right. You're being tricky and I don't know what you're doing.
And where are you going to cut?
Right. Yeah, exactly. What are you stabbing?
Yes.
Great question. I don't know.
I don't know why.
Just not anticipate like a nice steak knife at dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Because they have them. All the restaurants have them.
Yeah. You don't pack your own.
Yeah. Please don't.
No.
No.
Jennifer Garner can carry a knife and do that from Alias, but I don't think we can.
No, I don't think we can either.
If it's strapped to her leg, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But if it's anywhere else, I don't know. But if she's got
anywhere
a knife strapped to her
really
leg.
Really dangerous.
Right.
Yeah.
And if she just like lifts her dress or whatever a little bit and shows the knife off, that's okay.
Although Xena Warrior Princess, I believe, carried one in her breastplate in between her girls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was impressive.
I was not aware of that.
Yes. It's a great show. You know, Gabrielle, her sidekick.
How much of a knife are we talking about being hidden there?
Yeah.
Okay. Just a little guy.
Yeah. But she also, this is armor. This area is armor.
Right.
And our scythes, those are weapons, right? Those are like these blades. That was what Gabrielle had, I believe. It was all. And she carried them like she sort of tucked them into these straps on her back. As you can tell, Susan, I'm a big fan of the badass female scenarios.
Me too. And I know we haven't been talking about movies, but another good one, Uma Thurman from Kill Bill. Like I kind of had like a crush on her. It's just the way she just beat on everybody, you know?
I never saw that.
Oh, you'd like that. You'd like
Would
that.
I?
Yes.
Quentin Tarantino is a hit or miss for me, so that's why I think I avoided that one. Have you ever taken martial arts classes?
No. I probably need to do anything I can to become more coordinated, but I think it's really cool.
It's fun. I took mixed martial arts until they started hitting me in the face. And I said, you know what? I probably should go do something else for a while because I'd go for auditions and things. I was an orange belt. I'm an orange belt in mixed martial arts, which is not that. I think it was like white, off-white, pale white.
I'm impressed.
From the 773, don't forget you can get closer with a knife before a gun can be drawn. Also remember that you don't have to stop and reload a knife. There are many advantages to such a weapon.
See? Now, this is what we need, is more information. We're not informed on the pluses of carrying a knife.
I'd like to ask the 773 why he thinks he's going to have to reload a gun. Like, how many people are attacking you?
Yes, there's a lot of bullets. There should be enough bullets.
Yeah, I
As
think
the
he
police
got,
chief,
like, 8-ish.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Sometimes you get nine-ish.
Nine-ish.
As a police chief down in Georgia learned, you know, sometimes
tonight
you...
Tonight Show? What is happening on Tonight Show? Right, in Georgia...
Georgia police chief shot his wife while they were sleeping.
He only needed one.
What if he'd only had a knife in bed with him?
Right. Oh.
Totally different.
I don't even know what happens then.
I don't know. So Dustin, let's go back. The reason we're talking about this is Dustin Diamond...
stabbed people. A whole bunch of people.
This is my favorite thing in the story. There is no evidence.
Uh-huh.
That Dustin Diamond touched anyone with his knife.
He just had it.
He just had it.
And he was showing it off.
He didn't reach out or slash out or throw his arms around and try to wound somebody. I don't know how he...
Right. He's Screech, though, so he could have been real, you know, secretive with it. Just a little stab. I don't know how he did that.
Wow. Yeah. He's stealthy?
Yeah, he could be stealthy.
Okay. He merely flashed the pocket knife to try to stop the harm that was befalling. Now it's his wife. A moment ago, she was his fiance.
Well, congratulations.
So, during the fight, they got married.
Uh-huh. A beautiful ceremony.
It was gorgeous. there was bleeding.
I wonder where the reception is.
According to a criminal complaint, Diamond claimed the incident began after he declined to shake the hand of a woman who was bumping into his girlfriend. Soon after, he said a man confronted him. He decided to pay, get their coats, and leave, but a brawl erupted. Now, I will say that as a performer, and I'm guessing Screech gets a lot of grief for being Screech because that's not his name. We talked to Daniel Stern from Home Alone and by the way, I just said Home Alone. He has been in hundreds of different projects and people still ask him about Home Alone. He was amazing in Breaking Away. He's been, you know, he's great out of Manhattan. There's a lot of great things he's done. He's a sculptor. And yet people still go, so when Macaulay Culkin, like, you know, made you fall down the stairs and you had nails in your face, what was that like? So Dustin Diamond, who puts himself in front of live audiences as a stand-up comic, I'm not sure how successful he is. I'm guessing that's on the decline. There's going to be some rage. There's going to be a certain amount of rage. So don't, you know what? He might have a knife. You know what? It's such a unnoteworthy news story. It's not going to be in Rob Martire's report. Here with your update is Rob Martire. My mama, she told me. I gotta be careful. I can dance to the whole, I can listen to the whole song. I'm sorry, I'm dancing. We're warming up a little bit for our 2:30 a.m. Trot up and should we call it a trot? We're not running the stairs. We'll walk the stairs. We're gonna do 51 floors. I said we're gonna do 52. We'll do 51. 52 if we're excited.
Okay. I don't think I'm going to be excited.
And you, in order to prep for this, mm-hmm. for our training, for the Fight for Air Climb for right. the American Lung Association.
Our stair climbing.
You went ahead and did what?
I bought a pizza.
Thank you very much.
I really needed a pizza, and I'd like to carry at least a slice of the pizza into the stairwell again, because it does. It, you know, it's carbo loading or something, I think is what Paige Weiser said.
It's also comfort food. Is it kind of making you feel good? Like
right. It
like
makes now me you forget what you're making me do
and
physically.
You yeah. feel like you deserve it because you're going to exert yourself.
Right.
On
yeah.
the stairs.
Oh, I'm burning all this off.
Yes.
This was all.
That's all good.
Totally fine.
Mm-hmm. We're supposed to talk about this this video game scholarship, but I got distracted during the news because Bill Cosby had performed live for the first time in about a month, I would say. I think when the scandal first started to break, when people really started to pay attention to the story, because honestly, for 6 weeks. That was brewing. Online, there was a little bit of a firestorm. I was going to use a different word. And, you know, a lot of comics were talking about it. A lot of people on Facebook were talking about Hannibal Buress calling Bill Cosby a rapist. Women started to come forward. Not much in the news until one of NPR's reporters interviewed Bill Cosby and asked him directly about it. And I think, do you think that Bill didn't think anything was going to happen during that interview because it was NPR? Like he was there to talk about his art collection.
Right.
And I think his name is Scott Simon, I believe, from NPR,
yes.
said, I have to ask you the question about these allegations. And Bill Cosby started shaking his head. And that was on a Saturday. By Monday, and it's amazing to me it was NPR, that story blew wide open and has obviously gained a lot of attention. And you know, this was a story that I had known about for a long time. A lot of people had known about it if you followed it. A lot of us just went, oh, yeah, I'm sure that's probably whatever. And now there have been over 15 shows canceled. You know, he was actually in Chicago while that was still like starting to simmer. And I didn't want to tell anybody, friends of mine that were going, people that aren't in the comedy industry. I didn't want to say this is kind of turning out to be something really ugly because it's hard. He has a legacy that is undeniable and is now, I think he needs, I'm sorry to say this, I kind of think he needs to go away. That's not for me to say. I'm not.
No, I don't think that it's unfair to say something like that, though. I mean, the amount of people, we can all agree that we don't know anything for sure, that there's no way, you know, and some people say, I want to find out what happens in court cases. Well, there are no court cases, so you're not going to find out.
No.
He's not going to be, you know, convicted of any of this stuff because no one's whatever. But there's so many people saying the same thing. mm-hmm. that eventually it just makes sense for everyone that he goes away.
Yeah.
That, you know, at least the silence extends beyond him not wanting to talk about this and just becomes silence.
Yeah. Well, and right. even Felicia Rashad, who yesterday everyone was like, oh, look, Mrs. Huxtable says this is, you know, ignore those women. She came out today and said, that's not what I said. She was talking about the legacy. And I think that that is an important element of this because it's part of why people wanted to ignore it. His legacy, what he created. Yeah.
I mean, crappy people succeed. It's not like success is determined by just one group of people.
You and I know so many. I mean, right. We've come across them and been like,
we've come across
seriously?
Them. But crappy and not just crappy. That's definitely an understatement for what Bill Cosby could be.
Insidious
he's,
people
he's quite
sometimes.
A bit more. Right. Yeah. If he's guilty of these things, he's quite a bit more than crappy. But, you know, all kinds of people succeed. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't take away or add to these types of accusations. It doesn't make him any more innocent or guilty
right.
just because he's this successful
but
and famous.
But this firestorm has gotten beyond.
Oh, it's – yeah. And so when anybody says the legacy, though, I don't understand how that pertains to this.
I know.
I understand how people could be going after him because he's a famous person, but no one's making money. None of the people coming out are benefiting at all. None of them are becoming famous.
No.
We're not going to start watching TV shows or movies with, you know, the victims in it. There's no benefit. To coming out and saying that you're another one of 20 to 20 something
people. That you were assaulted
by
a creepy
right.
jerk.
Right. And the legacy has nothing to do with the potential crimes he committed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So when a comedian is on stage and we notice something, there's a great comic out of Wisconsin, out of Milwaukee, named Fred Klett. And I would watch him and he would have the same weakness I had, which was the whole room could be laughing and one person looks unsatisfied. And we can't wrap up. That's the person we started performing for. And I learned from him to stop doing that because you have to walk, and they're in the front row or whatever. Sometimes people get up to go to the bathroom and you, in the back of your mind, you're like, are they bored? Are they leaving? Did I say something that bothered them? Especially like this happened to me at a show not too long ago where two people walked out in the beginning. It wasn't the show they expected or whatever. And like that, I knew it. Like they left in 3 minutes in. For 42 minutes, I was like, what happened with those people? And I'm still talking. It's a very strange thing. It's an experience that you really have to endure yourself, where you're questioning yourself. And I'm trying to be much better about letting it go. Well, Bill Cosby was performing. He was doing a show in Canada tonight, and a woman got up. She was just getting up to leave the room. She was in the front row. So who knows why she got up, right? Like, that's her prerogative. And it could have been related to what he was saying. It could have been because she got uncomfortable. She very may well have gotten a phone call. Maybe her phone buzzed and her babysitter. These are the things I now have trained myself to go, it's not about you. Do your show. That's one person in the front row. There are 300 people in the room here to be entertained. Bill Cosby, of all the decades of performing that he has under his belt and everything that's swirling around him, a woman got up in the front row and he said, you have to be careful about drinking around me, when she got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, apparently
or just
she
got up.
She got up and he asked her where she was going and then she said to get a drink. And she offered him one. She said, would you like one? And he goes, no, I've had a bottle of water ready. And by the way, you have to be careful drinking around me.
Yeah. Right. Really? That was where you...
That's your joke.
That's right.
That is his response to this because of social media and everything. That is out there now.
Yeah.
And it's certainly catching fire.
You have to be careful.
Right.
When you're drinking around me.
Right.
So are you mocking it? Are you now mocking women who are saying you raped them? Are you actually saying that as a comedian? There's so many different, because I actually know what that moment, I will tell you, I know what that moment feels like when you have decided to engage and step out of your script to engage someone in the real moment. You know, you are flashing something that the audience wouldn't otherwise get unless you decided to let them in. And it is his rage about what's happening. It is, you know, I can't say if it's his, it's not an acknowledgement of guilt, but it's a little bit, it's a flash of rage is what it is. That's weird.
Well, it's certainly different than what he's been doing when he knows it's going to be this public, as he obviously didn't anticipate something that he said at a comedy show being capable of taking off, which this comment will. Everyone will talk about it tomorrow. This will be all over the place.
Oh, yeah. That's and it's not just like everyone accuses women who just want attention. You know, Beverly Johnson, incredibly successful model, is one of the people who has come forward and said that he attacked her and she got away. So this is gonna fire the fuel again. Did you see when he tried his PR people try putting out a, they put out, you know, meme, they said meme me.
Oh yeah, no. Oh. When on social media they put out something that said meme this photo, and it was an old Bill Cosby photo.
Wow.
Of something, and all the memes obviously had to do with
rape,
the controversy.
Yeah,
I mean, as you said, there's so many people coming out, there's so much happening now that it just makes sense to go away. Just don't be in the public eye at all.
Yeah.
For however long it takes, and by that I mean not for stuff to go away, maybe forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think public conscience is, the people publicly are going to forgive him. I don't think anyone's going to forget. This is going to be in, you know, our minds for a long time.
He's that guy. Although I'm curious about Canadians. Still came out to see the show.
They applauded. I heard a report about this too. They applauded. There was no hint or sign of anything from the audience. There were a couple picketers outside the performance, but that was the extent of anyone, you know, toward him demonstrating any kind of ill will.
He did shows in the middle of it here in the United States to a positive response, and those, and they're going to buy the tickets. I can't imagine you would buy an $80 ticket just to go yell at a guy. Although, I mean, I think some people would. I wouldn't. We were talking about this with Scott Santis. I mean, like, nothing is off limits when it comes to a comedian. He was in that moment, and like I said, he's going to say what he's going to say. It's weird. It's just weird that he's out performing, I don't know. Oh, well. What are you going to do? It's all satire. What were we supposed to talk about here? Was it supposed to be gaming scholarships?
Yeah, it was gaming scholarships. There's a school that's offering scholarships
to
people who play video games.
We didn't get to it.
We didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go slow.
Are you all warmed up for our 2:30 a.m. stair climb training for the Fight for Air Lung Associate?
Yeah, I think I'm too tired to do it.
No, I'm all
winded.
Yeah, I'm going to blame that pizza you bought.
Yeah, that pizza was great.
I know. It's like a rock right now. Oh, man.
That is settling poorly.
I know. The dancing probably a little bit much. Yeah, we're going to do the stairs. I think we'll be fine. Do we know what stairwell we'll be using tonight?
I really do vote for the green.
One?
It's all green.
The which one?
The green.
All green? Do you remember which stairwell that is?
I think it's E.
E? Okay, so I know where F is. I'm pretty sure. I don't know where D is. I have to show you D. I think that, not tonight, but we'll find stairwell D at some
point. But D doesn't have 20-something floors all
together. I don't know. They were all locked. I was until 5, and then I was on some balcony above the Tribune's newsroom. DiGilio joins us in studio. His show's coming up. While you start your show, Craig and I are going to be doing our stair climbing training. We've been eating pizza. I'm sure that's going to – hopefully, we'll, you know, the least known stairwell, I think, in case anything tragic happens. Anyway, how are you doing, Nick?
I'm okay.
Excellent. We were talking to Scott Santis, who does the political cartoons for the Chicago Tribune. What a fascinating guy. He feels – you know what he said today? He feels flattered that what they do makes that people so angry. Which was a weird take on it. I mean, yeah, you got to figure he's got to have it's scary stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to say you're flattered, I was like, oh, okay, that's one way to put it. It's a take.
This whole thing makes me insane.
Yes. Because we make people angry every night. There's something we say that someone's
It was an attack on freedom of speech.
Yes.
It was an attack on satire. It killed people.
Yeah.
It killed 12 people. And now are people who make other people laugh by poking fun at people in power, are they supposed to be scared now to do that? It's a bunch of crap.
It is.
It's unbelievable.
It is. You know, I've made people angry in the audience before, and I
make people angry constantly.
Right. I make people angry you know, every night. I know there are letters we get by, you know, one woman wrote, do you think I'm supposed to pay for your birth control? Which was not ever something I had said. I don't take birth control. So no.
Why do you read these things? Because, no, seriously, why?
No, seriously, because I was in Jimmy DeCastro's office. She had CC'd Jimmy DeCastro, Todd Manley. Todd laughed at it. Jimmy asked me about it. She'd also sent it to Bob and Marianne for some reason because she was, I guess she listens 24 hours a day and was mad at them as well, more angry at me because she felt that I'd asked for. But yes, yeah, so those, but that was such a weird thing to even be mad at me for. I think I like sometimes to know where the crazies are. Don't you ever, you never want to know.
I don't read any of that crap.
And well, that's why I don't have my texting screen.
I don't
on.
Go to the message boards anymore. I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't anymore.
I did once.
Someone... just a waste of time.
It is.
Bunch of morons.
Well, and so the folks at this newspaper, the people who were attacked, they were firebombed 3 years ago.
Yeah.
By a similar group, whether or not it was the same attackers.
Yeah.
When people get that angry, I mean, it's bad enough when they write letters and they're that consumed with just rage. It's startling because is there anything that has ever made you so mad? I've got to let them know that I'm just disappointed.
What do you mean?
Just like, you ever felt like you're compelled to write something? No.
No, I've never written anything, but I've gotten very angry at things.
Sure, but...
I mean, I've been angered by what people say and what people do.
So I was talking about this last night. There are comics who make rape jokes, right? And I find it unsettling. I don't like it. But I was thinking, like, what difference does it really make to me? Are they projecting... Are they also then, you know, promoting something that I don't appreciate and I don't like and I wish people... You know what really makes me more angry?
By rape jokes, what do you mean?
You know...
By like glorifying rape?
Yeah, there are comics that have... and does it make me... But you know what the thing is? But that's their right... This is freedom of expression. If that's what they think is funny and there are people who laugh at them...
There's a way to take on any topic
mm-hmm.
and make it funny. Any topic.
Yes.
You can take on rape and mm-hmm. you can make it funny.
And people would argue that they thought that material was funny and I don't find it funny. Should I then tell them not to do it anymore? I've had comics
open... Oh, no, they can say whatever they want
exactly.
to say.
Exactly. I've had comics open for me who use the word retarded repeatedly in front of me and it's not appropriate for my shows. I don't like it. But I would never... I've never once pulled a comic aside and said, you know what? I really need you to stop.
That's not your place.
It's not my place to do that.
No.
Exactly.
It's their act. If it sucks, it sucks.
And I don't get angry at them. I get disappointed more often than anything else.
Yeah.
Oh, is that really what they think? Is that what they thought was going to be funny? But other than that, it says more about the person that gets angry than it does about the performer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's all.
Let them do it, man.
Yeah.
They got the freedom. You know, there's a quote in the mm-hmm. lobby here from Voltaire, right here in the Tribune, that says, I disagree with everything that you just said, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it.
Exactly.
That's one of the best quotes ever. I totally screwed
no,
it up.
No, that's about right.
But that's the point right here. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, you know what? I think your act sucks. I'm offended by it, but go ahead.
Yeah. I've never corrected anybody. Maybe when I was younger, we might have had discussions, but now that I've been doing this long enough, comics will ask me, is there anything you don't want me to do? And I said, the fact that you have to ask me that means that somebody else took you to task, and I apologize that ever even happened to you because I'm not going to do that. You do your thing. And if I can't follow it, that's my problem, not yours.
The other thing about it is, like, you know, when there have been protests when certain films have been released mm-hmm. and they want them taken out of the theaters, they want them burned. I remember when The Last Temptation of Christ came out
mm-hmm.
in 1988, it caused a massive uproar. And by the way, the people who picketed that movie didn't see it.
Right.
90% of the people who picketed The Last Temptation of Christ didn't even see it.
But they knew they were going to be angry.
Exactly
yeah.
right. But the other thing is that backfired. Because that movie
oh, yeah?
made millions more mm-hmm. than it would have had those idiots not been out in front of the theater.
That's how I felt about the movie Tropic Thunder. Being the mother of a son with special needs.
People
wanted to get upset about the word retarded. And I was like, you know what? Why don't you go down to Springfield and protest for better services of people with disabilities than wasting your time on this?
Yeah.
I honestly got it. I like Tropic Thunder.
It's hilarious.
It's a very funny movie. The people wanted to protest how many times they used the word retarded in that movie. And I don't like it. I usually say that.
Were they,
and then I had to explain.
Were they cool with the blackface?
Exactly.
They were cool with the blackface, right?
Yes. Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, exactly. No, go down. You know what? Go tell people in Springfield that there are services that people are losing and as they try to live independently. Go and fight for those things, not because a word bothers you.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
What's coming up on your show?
Jeff Tuckman, our video guy, is going to join us for his monthly visit. We're giving away copies of Clint Eastwood's Jersey Boys.
Oh, excellent.
And it's Fly Jams Friday.
Wonderful. I look forward to that. What's Dan Shugru's?
DJ Shugru.
DJ. Well, yeah. How could I forget that? Yeah, it was Ray Ray last week.
You had, DJ Ray Ray.
Yeah, she did a nice job.
She did.
Dan's gonna be happy that his wife can go back to work tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't make any difference to him. I'm happy that the boys are going back to school tomorrow. It's a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, it makes no sense. It's gonna be colder tomorrow than it was today.
Yeah. I was gonna ask earlier what's different about tomorrow. Than...
Well, it should be. I'm sorry. Today. I
yes.
Have to get
right
the
now.
Right mindset,
yes. That's okay. So. Yeah. Yeah. It makes no sense.
Yep.
I would say it makes no ding-dangity sense, but that's not a word, and Griffin's got to learn the real stuff. Nick DiGilio's up next. Susan, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you next week.
See you next week. Thank you. I'll look forward to it. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
John Tatey joins us tomorrow. And what band do we have tomorrow? No idea. We have music. We have music. We have John Tatey and the return of the segment we premiered at our pajama party. What's in the box? Appliance or appliance?